and welcome to episode 461 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. My name is Vince Hunt, and joining me as always is the creator of the comic series Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And he's not calling in from a dark room this week, but
back
his name,
on, baby.
His name is Tony Esmond.
I had to laugh there, right, because I was watching, because people who don't know, we never used to have cameras on, did we? No. We've got cameras on now because we love each other, seeing each other, and especially seeing Dan naked. Yeah. So just as we started, I got a sense that you looked away and then looked back at the screen, and you suddenly got what alcoholics call a moment of clarity, where you realised, what the fuck have I been doing for 9.5 years? I just saw it in your face. It was like in your face there.
I was sitting there with my feet up thinking, I'll just, you know, take it easy, go for the show. And I was thinking, you two are paying attention. It's like, no, it's on me to treat this with the respect it deserves.
But Vince he looked away and he went like this. Oh. Like, what is going on with my life? I've got some bloke who looks like a troll, and I've got handsome Dan.
It's changed from Damien Dan from last
week. Yeah. I'm the devil worshipper.
Beelzebub. Asmodeus.
Lord,
check out last week's show. It was a
lot
did
a drawing of Mike and his magic eagle and said it's amazing. I think it's Mike's a zoologist, so he's like, I don't think you've got it technically right. Good luck.
Oh dear. Welcome to the show, everyone. And it's going to be another, it's just the three amigos this week, but we've got a couple of very interesting topics to talk about. They're so interesting that we always start talking about them before we actually press record. And
too much, I think.
Yeah. So we'll get into that soon enough. Dan, I think you agree. Tony Esmond's like one of the toughest men we know, isn't he? He's bulletproof. He's bulletproof.
He's going to be on series 3 of Danny Dyer's Hardest Men.
Yeah.
I know somebody's on that.
I think when that family found him in a crashed pod and decided to raise him as their own, he was obviously raised with good morals.
This is going.
And a man of steel. But, however, something's happened to him because he's got the sniffles a little
bit. I've got
a
cold.
Haven't you?
Yeah. I've got a cold.
He's human, everyone. He's human. Finally.
I got it where all normal people get colds on an easy jet flight.
Yeah. Travelling with a scum and a detritus.
Yeah. Out of Madrid. Jesus Christ. Yeah. But I mean, don't get worse. An easy jet. Sunday afternoon out of Malaga Airport. I've got to tell you,
it'll be rough.
Yeah. He was having a well-earned holiday, and obviously last week's show, which was a lot of fun, the lights went off.
The fuse box went.
I don't know how that worked, because it just looked like I was in one of those videos of somebody who was like a bank robber and didn't want to show their face or something.
If you had like a pitch shift on your voice, you would have been like one of those. Then the names have been changed to protect the...
It weren't too bad. And then when obviously the sun started going down, everything started getting darker and darker. You was kind of, there was a bit of white light behind you. We could only see the silhouette of you.
And just the outline of my glasses.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was like some kind of Morecambe and Wise.
Yeah. It was like Elijah Wood in Sin City. You know, when his
glasses were the reference. Yeah.
It's a big shout out to Pat and Lisa Mills, though, because I'd come straight from sitting on their deck drinking red wine. And I was like, no, I was a bit mess. You know. Couldn't really string a sentence together, and I managed to make it through.
Yeah, a lot to do, man.
Indeed, and last week was a lot of fun, and a bit of a 2000 AD chat, and thanks to Sue, and talking about Lawless last week. If you want to know more about that convention, that we'll probably do a shout-out for later in the show.
Oh, and thanks to Jason, Dapp, and Vince for mentioning the show on the EOC this week as well. Very kind of them.
Oh, cheers, Vince.
I'll be seeing them in a few weeks. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, there's going to be, I think there's going to be a few shout-outs and hellos later on in the show. But this is a show all about comics, and comics that you can get from the shop, that you can get online, that you can get free, and that may tie into what we're going to talk about. Or maybe you just want to get all kinds of comics wherever you go with an amazing app. Well, you can, because of our lovely sponsor. Yes, Global Comics. Thank you very much for sponsoring the show, as always. They're the place to go for digital comics. There's a huge library of titles available to read.
I can
see
Dan wants to say something. He's looking mischievous. Look,
I've not got a story this week.
No,
I've not got a story this week.
Hang on. I'll do this bit again so he's got a bit of time to think about the story.
I was on the train.
Yeah. There's a huge library of titles available on Global Comics from thousands of indie creators. Hundreds of publishers like Image Boom, Tokyo Pop, TKO Studios, Dynamite, Mad Cave, Source Point Press, Humanoids, to name a few. I might have to just write a list and see if I can do it in one breath.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Sometime like there. Yeah, dude. Although that might be the last. I might do that and then pass out because it's so, yeah.
Like box breathing.
Yeah,
it's worth it for our sponsor. Make
indeed,
that sacrifice.
Indeed, and that the catalogue of publishers and creators is always growing, and we're always checking it out. Well, what have you noticed on there at the moment, guys?
I'd like to give a shout out to a book from Boom, actually. Now, I don't know about you guys. We never really touched this subject, but I am. I wouldn't describe myself anymore as an anti-theist, but I'm certainly an atheist born out of Catholic boarding school. But I have an interest, a sort of morbid interest in people who are into that sort of thing. And there's a great book on there called Judas. Have you heard of it?
No.
Fucking hell. I had a real moment with it this week. So we all know the character of Judas. And we all know the character what happens to Jesus. Yeah. But what happens is it takes their story forward. So where does Judas go when he dies? Let me ask you this. If you follow the sort of mythology of Christianity, where does he go?
I only know that he hung himself. Is that right?
That's... Yeah. So after he dies, where does he go? He goes to hell, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He goes to hell.
Do you know what? It was weird. Dan, are you with me? I felt like that was a trick question, but it wasn't.
Well, there's more to it. And bear in mind that Jesus, according to Christian mythology, took all of the sins of the world onto himself. So where does he go? He goes to hell. So this follows Judas and Jesus Christ in hell.
Oh,
it's a really, really clever idea. And the art, I'm got the details because my app sound says, but the art in it is to die for. Absolutely really? To die for. Absolutely lovely. I'm going to feature it this week, I think, on the weekly thing I put out. I'm just
the covers are absolutely lovely. Jeff Loveness and Jacob Rebellica.
There you go. Just beautiful stuff.
Nice.
And it's like really clear. It's got that should have been a Vertigo book feel about it. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this is really nice. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. 10 out of 10 for me, that one. Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
And out of the blue, never heard of it. Out of the blue. Yeah.
There is another one in there called Judas, and it's like a huge, bemuscled man covered in blood. I presume that's not the same thing.
That's another one for Dan.
I'll be reading both.
That's from Dan's own private Red Room.
I was going to give a shout out. There's a load of Kirkman books. Like they've done a special on Kirkman stuff, so I started reading for them. This title I never heard it before, The Walking Dead. That's one on there.
Yeah.
I saw on eBay today you can get some Charlie Adlard X-Files pages, which is the series he did before The Walking Dead. Yeah. So they're like £150 on eBay.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Mm. So you got Wolfsman, Science Dog, Firepower, Oblivion Song, Invincible, obviously The Infinite, which I've put on to read because that's written by Rob Kirkman, but drawn by Liefeld. So,
Of course.
Very interesting to see what that's like. In a sort of morbid...
Yeah, I remember that little period.
I mean, that Liefeld kid, I hope he does well for himself.
I hope he does well, yeah.
He just needs to market himself a bit more.
He's got a funny foot.
Oh, people doing their screen caps like Liefeld shoes or Liefeld's feet in the back of Deadpool. So funny. Yes. Sorry, I'm being a c***ed up. Sorry, bro.
those are some hell of a recommendation from Global Comics.
It's like today, every week, I get sent, someone sends me that clip of the Steven Seagal song where he sings in a Jamaican accent and talks about Punani. Every week I get it, but it's never not funny. I don't care.
Yeah.
Johnny Ottaway, who we're legally bound to say is not a murderer, sent it to me today and it made me laugh still.
Amazing.
I watched it again last week, Under Siege. It was on
it's
alright,
stands up.
Yeah. Gary Busey's amazing in it.
There was one bit I watched several times and then I moved past it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
That was the one that was always...
Is that where he's doing some of the cooking? Because you actually see... Good stuff, good stuff. And also, Global Comics is great stuff. If they have an app... So not only can you read all those great comics, you can follow creators, set reading status filters, add them to reading later lists or continue reading, or you can have notifications for books you're looking forward to in the future. It's properly handy, especially if like you're not sure when a series is coming out or when a new issue drops. Some publishers drop their issues on there day and date as well, so it really is
even before you can get the comic shop, like the one we're going to talk about later.
Yeah,
that was before it hit comic shops in the
and,
UK.
And especially for those people who can't make it to a comic book shop. I mean, we all love the printed book. We are pro printed book in this this show, like 100%, more than 100%. You can't get more than 100%. I know that.
102%.
You know, if you can't get, you know, if your nearest comic book store is hours away or miles away and you can't get to it, then these sort of apps are really, really handy to, you know, almost stay up to date with the, especially with a lot of the independent comics and stuff like that. It's great stuff. So it really is good. And if you happen to be a creator yourself, you can publish your digital comics on there for free. They offer loads of great tools for indie creators to help with publishing, marketing, and more. They have featured sections. There's all kinds of stuff that we could have a whole show talking about it again. But if you're an average comics reader, creator, or maybe just someone new to the hobby and just want to check out some great stories, Global Comics is indeed the place for you. So thank you to them for sponsoring the show. And if you want to know more, then check out Global Comics. That's comics with an X.com. And you can download the app now on Apple App Store or Google Play and start reading digital comics like us. Because you want to be as cool as us, and we're the cool.
You can never be that cool.
Yeah, we're real cool. Real cool guys. You know what else is cool?
Go on.
Comics.
That got too tense.
I know. The weird thing is, I was trying to think of a funny thing to say in that space.
Your mum.
Right. And I don't know why. It's probably because I'm drinking squash at the moment. But the only word I could think
that
of
that is more squash than anyone's ever drunk in their lives.
That is
a barrel.
Yeah. The only word I could think of was Ribena.
I like Ribena.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah. Drink more water, people.
Yeah. Drink less coffee.
Yeah. But you need to read more comics, and sometimes you want to pop into a comic book store when there's a particular event that happens. Now, in terms of the comic scene, there are few comic store events that come around every year, which are, let's face it, you know, we talk about anniversaries. We talk about, you know, oh, we're celebrating this comic or we're having store signings. In terms of comic book shops, there's only one true regular thing that happens every year. Am I right in saying this? Before I name what we're going to obviously talk about,
is it Small Press Day?
There's Small Press Day,
and then there's the Halloween version of Free Comic Book Day.
But
is that becoming a bigger thing now?
I think so. Yeah.
But oh yeah, by the way, we're talking about Free Comic Book Day. You totally forgot the end of that. Yes, Free Comic Book Day for that. If you're listening to the show, there's a good chance you know what this is. And everyone, we put a shout out on the Slack. Thank you to everyone that had a chat about it. It provided a great discussion. If you want to join the Slack community, please get in touch with us. You can jump in on the discussion itself. You know, lots of different points raised. But Free Comic Book Day is one of the only continual sort of major comic book sort of things that are happening on a wide scale. I mean, across everything. I mean, I know there's small press day, but for instance, in the States,
I don't think that's a thing in the States.
That's not a thing in the States. So. Whereas Free Comic Book Day, which is the first Saturday in May, is that still happening?
Okay.
So it's just around the corner, which is why we thought now is a good time to talk about it. I don't know if either of you guys got the list of what's coming or what potential titles.
You sent it through to us, didn't you?
Cool. Yeah. We'll get in.
I picked a few favourites out when we get there.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, for those who don't know what this is, just in case, I'm going to read from, of course,
the clues in the title.
Yeah, yeah. But the most, intelligent way of researching things. I went to Wikipedia.
Yes.
Yeah. I looked up on Pornhub.
Yeah. I'm sure FCBD means something else on Pornhub.
Let's hope it does. Write in if you know what it means on Pornhub.
Yeah. Google it now.
But as it says here, Free Comic Book Day is an annual promotional effort by the North American comic book industry to attract new readers to independent comic book stores. It usually takes place on the first Saturday of May and has historically been cross-promoted with the release of a superhero film. Over 2,000 participating stores give away millions of comic books annually. The event was proposed.
I did not know that it did that.
Wow. No, me neither.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Well, that's the first on me.
And there's a list down.
There is
below,
like a list of them, comparable ones, isn't there? Yeah.
The event was proposed by Joe Field in the August 2001 issue of Comics and Games Retailer magazine, and Free Comic Book Day was launched in 2002, coordinated by the industry's single large distributor, Diamond Comic Distributors. Free Comic Book Day has become an official Children's Book Week event and has inspired similar events for German and Dutch language comics industries. And the 21st edition of FCBD was held on May the 6th, 2023. So this will be the 22nd year of Free Comic Book Day. Think about that. Because even
one was digital only, wasn't it, I think? Yeah. One or two were. Yeah.
And it's during pandemic times, wasn't it? Yeah. Now, we all kind of think we know for Comic Book Day, but certainly there's a couple of details in there that I was really aware of.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting that because it does quote, you're right there, V, Joe Field as being the originator of it, and he quotes it. And I believe it describes him as a journalist in Wikipedia. Now, Joe is a journalist.
It calls him a California-based comics retailer, event promoter, and partner in WonderCon.
Oh, yeah. So there's more to him than that. So he manages Flying Colors Shop, which is a comic shop. He's involved in the organization of WonderCon. He's been a past president of the Comics Professional Retail Organization. And so it's not like he's a fan journalist. He's a very well established retailer with links to the way comics sells, basically.
Right. Okay.
To the comics business. But it's based on the idea, he got the idea from, I think I'm right in saying, an ice cream company would give away a scoop of ice cream or something.
That's exactly what it says here. A free scoop night at the Baskin Robbins ice cream parlor next to his store.
Yeah.
Now, he had a big picture column in Comics and Games Retailer magazine. Of course, this is like 2001. You're thinking of that. It's not really a boom of comic book movies, but when they were, all of a sudden we were starting to get movies that were like, oh my God, Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. That's what it was, wasn't it? I think it was the Spider-Man one. In fact, it was Jim Valentino who liked the idea and suggested it coincide with the 2002 opening of the Spider-Man movie.
Exactly.
So Jim got involved, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah. And from then, the first one was held May 4th, 2002. And from there, well, you know.
Spread globally.
Yeah. Now, it's first four free comics. What do you think? I mean, Tony.
I know this, but Dan, see if you can guess. The first four comics.
I mean, you don't have to
guess
specifically.
One's going to be a Spider-Man, obviously.
Yeah, you got a Spider-Man.
Yeah, well done. So it's Ultimate Spider-Man reprint, first issue.
So there's four kind of franchises here, isn't there, really.
We go for a DC, so we go for a Batman.
No, the DC one is, you'll know this when we say it, it's the Justice League cartoon.
Yeah.
They did a comic
of
it,
fair enough,
which makes sense, and is very much kind of in line with what we've seen over the years with them putting cartoon products into comics to get that wider audience. I don't think it's a bad idea.
There was a Dark Horse Comics movie thing. Now, around that time, 2001, Dark Horse Comics movies, what sort of comic would they make?
Sin City?
No, they had another IP that's since moved to Marvel. What was their big IP?
Yeah.
Aliens.
No, just think of a canon that's been completely disregarded.
Fucking ruined.
God, that's fucking... That doesn't narrow it down.
True.
Well, let's give it to him, Beacon.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
And the last one, which is a video game, popular video game around 2001. It was a few movies, a couple of movies. Yeah.
Mortal Kombat?
No.
Street Fighter?
Lady in Shorts.
Oh, Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So we've got Tomb Raider, Star Wars,
Spider-Man, Justice League.
And Justice League. Okay.
Yeah.
The popular choice. For me, they were doing comics for people who weren't into comics.
Yeah.
If the whole point of it is a marketing exercise, that's the titles you should go for.
Yeah. Completely. These days people go Tomb Raider. You've got to realize that at that time Tomb Raider was fucking
big.
Massive. Like, the video games were still fucking. I mean, the video games are still big now, but
It was news that Angelina Jolie was being cast as Lara Croft.
Yeah,
like that's big news.
How many issues are there this year? how many different
titles? In total. In the official sort of like
in the non- official list, yeah, yeah, so the Diamond List.
48. Yeah. Oh my god!
Now these are the ones that obviously a lot of this comes through Diamond, isn't it? That's how this works, isn't it? Tony?
Yeah, yeah. Sony is here. I mean, over, I don't know what they're doing in the States because you've got Marvel and different people are being handled by different distros. But there's obviously, I think, three Marvel books on there. There's like four DC books.
Yeah.
This year.
The interesting thing about it is, and this, I mean, I'm taking a few steps ahead of where what we're talking about now. But I remember, do you remember when Star Wars issue one?
Yeah.
Was that a free comic book? There wasn't there a free comic book day? Things like this can bump up the.
Yeah, the, I know what you mean. There's like, it's stuff like when they put comics in Loot Crate and stuff like that.
That's what I was thinking
well,
of. The Loot Crate one, which. And that always fucking pissed me off that they put all of these books in a Loot Crate box.
And that's how comics are doing fine now because this one's sold 3 million.
And it's like,
in
no,
system.
No, yeah. It's not. Yeah. But 48, blimey. How many different, I mean, do we know how many different publishers there are? Or is it mainly?
It's got to be like 30 odd, I think, because I think DC and Marvel have both got quite a number of books. A couple of Alien books are back, who are doing, Alien books are there, who are bringing back, do you know what company? You know this.
Malibu.
You
know. No.
Valiant.
Valiant. Oh, right. yes.
They're doing a book called The Valiants.
Interesting.
The Valiants.
Yeah, because yeah. Okay. They're back. So Valiant's back. They've had two or three books out. All of them I've enjoyed.
It's been a bit low-key so relaunch.
Massively low-key. I was talking to Rob Hardingham. I'm going, but have you seen this, Rob? He said, yeah, I've got on that. Like, but it's not like been a big splash anywhere.
And maybe it's doing the old soft launch. I do that.
Maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Quotes. Going to soft launch it. Well, you're not going to bother talking about it? No.
soft launch. Like my Kickstarter.
If you look, if you look at the release dates of like certainly the first probably about 15 free comic book days, for the most part, I think there was a couple of times around 2005, 2006, it coincided with a comic book movie being released that weekend. Certainly in the States.
Wow, okay.
We're talking Spider-Man X2, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3, Iron Man, X-Men Origins Wolverine, Iron Man 2, Thor, you know, it just went on and on. Now, I think, I mean, even though I didn't know about the movie, you know, that...
I guess we do live in a period back then when movies in America and the UK came out at different times. Do you remember how Captain America came out here first? A week before America. Yeah. Do you remember? Yeah. I mean, Brian Vander was telling me, because Brian Vander loves Captain America, and he's like, how come you lot have got him first?
Yeah, sounds
mad, isn't it? Yeah.
But I think that period of like 10 years, I mean, for a big thing like this, you want the first few years to go quite well. It's got to establish it, hasn't it? And what a decade of 15 years of being able to establish this. Just from, and I'm not talking about the quality of the comics or anything, I'm just talking from a marketing standpoint, what a fucking halcyon time it was that every fucking year you had some sort of movie.
I got a funny story about this. I was in I used to work in quite a laddish office. You know, everyone was like, it's like us three. We just like remorselessly take the piss out of each other. Somebody said to me, what are you doing? John Halford, shout out to John. John said to me, what are you doing this weekend? And I said, oh, it's free comic book day. And he's gone, what? Like, what?
Yeah.
You know? And I went, no, it's free comic book day. He says, what does that even mean? And I thought, I can't fucking be bothered to explain it.
Yeah.
I've got I haven't got that fucking in me to explain it. So I just went, it's like comic book Christmas. And he went, oh, comic book Christmas. what is it this week, Tony? Comic book Christmas. I'm like, here we go.
Here we go.
Can I say that?
Realise you say so, so I can't take that back now.
But essentially, you know, that I think that ties into talking about exactly what it is. Because obviously we talked a little bit about history. But the whole point of free comic book day, certainly for stores... It's a footfall driver, isn't it? It can be sort of like
get people in.
You have a lineup of books. They give you these books to order. Never forget that the stores have to order these in, don't they?
Got
to
pay for them.
They got to pay for them.
Yeah, that's the thing. Not much, but they do have to pay for them.
No.
Yeah.
And God bless all you stores who run events and things like this. And it's certainly it's created to drive footfall into stores. Therefore, people will pick up a free comic book. hopefully they'll buy something else.
Mm.
And, you know, it feeds itself. That's the idea of it, isn't it? It's like, let's get more people into stores. What do people like? Free things. And hopefully you'll hook them with something else. Now, I called this episode, what's the point of Free Comic Book Day? Which probably was a little bit clickbaity and made it sound negative, which it's not. But I do want to sort of...
We got them now, Vince, don't we?
Yeah, we got them now. If they've lasted this long, God bless them.
You're in.
But for you guys, where we are now, and it's certainly been a turbulent 5-10 years in comics, and certainly for the comic book stores, Free Comic Book Day, what's the point of it? Is it worth still doing this?
Yeah, I've got a history with Comic Book Day because I honestly found it. I find it a really exciting thing. I used to.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I've helped out in a couple of shops where I've historically had a pull list. I sort of blocked out where I'd be at which shop on certain days with friends. You know, I figured out you could get to Forbidden Planet in Shaftesbury Avenue at 10, which opened at 10, buy something, get a free comic book, go to Orbital at 10:30, which is when it opened, get a free comic book. And then I'd wander over to Gosh, see what they had going on, see if they had any signings on. So it was like a tour. It was like it was a special day for me.
Nice.
And then some of the days I would actually give the comics out in shops. And there would always be a line outside a lot of the shops. And I think there probably still is. I haven't been... I don't think I went to last year's because I think I was away. But I'm gonna go this week. To the one this week. So I found it important. And I did used to find that I would be giving comics to people who didn't really know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know? And people would come in, families, granddad. I remember a couple of granddads with their grandkids coming in to get comics and stuff like that. And it genuinely meant something to me. Is there the enthusiasm for it anymore? I'm going to say not.
Okay.
Certainly within me, there's not. Okay. And I don't feel that it's just become this sort of accepted thing that happens every year.
Interesting.
We've got to go through the motions of doing this.
Yeah. And all power to the shops that put on little events as well.
Yeah, totally.
And do other stuff. Because, I mean, like, Gosh, I've got signings. I think Luke Pearson's signing his new book in there, the Hildegard dude. And, there are shops that do lots of things. I know Nobrow, when I was there, they put out a Free Comic Book Day Hilda issue. Which was nice and good to be part of. I'm not sure if it was a door opener too much for new customers.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Because Hilda's kind of it's just a steam train of its own making anyway. But
I don't know how much it, what it affects. Does it, what kind of.
I mean, what's your history with it, Dan? Have you ever really sort of...
Little to none, really. I remember going to them back in the day. Like, I don't go to the shops much anymore because there's, hardly any near me. So, it's, literally you get, whatever. When I used to get a pull list and they'd stick a couple in there.
It felt like 5-10 years ago I was hearing more about it.
I mean, it seems to, like many things, I think the pandemic's kind of taken its toll on it.
I think I'm glad that some companies do. I mean, as much as I'm not massively enjoying most of what Marvel puts out, it is they are putting. Am I right in saying that Bloodhunt X-Men 1 is an integral part of the upcoming event and is a Free Comic Book Day issue?
Right. Okay.
Really?
I think that's right. Yeah. So I think they are putting stuff in there.
It's certainly an interesting thing because, I know when it comes to the sort of books that are put out. And maybe when it was at its peak, it wasn't just free comic books. Just the sense of they're just putting out some issue. There used to be some special editions. There was when you were talking about going to different stores, Tony. That
to snag one.
That reminded me of me hearing people I need to get to this store to see if I can get a copy of that. But they were out of that one, so I had to go to this store to try and find it because they're looking for specific titles.
And it depends how the company, how each store does it.
Yeah.
So, for example, if I've got a pull list and I'm a big Marvel physical buyer, I'm a big DC physical buyer, I would like to think they would put aside a Marvel or a DC for me, but not all shops do that. I know Danielle from OK Comics has said there's no reserving comics, free comic space for OK Comics. I remember when I used to go to Forbidden Planet, they would literally have a grab bag. They'd give you a carrier bag with 3 or 4 of the comics in it when you went in. And the other thing worth saying here is buy something.
Yeah.
Fucking buy something. Yeah. Don't be one of those people who just goes in and out of shops getting free comics. And
I'm sure
then
there is.
On eBay.
There's going to be loads of people.
Loads of people do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but the, I know when I was handing out comics, people would come in and I'd go, oh, these are good for kids. And then you'd hand that to the kids with their parents.
Yeah, that's good.
Or, oh, I know you're a horror fan. Here's the Hellboy version.
Yeah. And I
you
think
know,
that's
sort of
that's one of, like, the absolute, one of the best parts of it, if you ask me, because... And we talk a lot about like getting in the younger generation to read these comics and stuff like that. And obviously comics are getting more and more expensive. Less, we're not talking about that this week. But for a parent who doesn't necessarily know about comics, but, you know, oh, let's go into this store. That the parents usually, and we've met them at conventions, haven't we? Especially these free walking conventions. These people don't know anything about it. They normally sort of go, did you make this yourself? And then you've got to go through that whole
thing. I do like when you ask someone and they're kind of a bit exasperated. So I don't really know anything about this.
Yeah.
Like, That's
fine.
Yeah.
Or the traditional, is this suitable for kids?
Yeah.
Which is like a great question. About. And Free Comic Book Day is tailor-made for that, isn't it?
Really? Yeah. Yeah. That's the idea of it. The whole idea of it is it's for people who aren't really into it to get them into it.
Yeah.
It's got to be the only reason.
Matt,
you know,
if they'd have had like a comic book tying into the X-Men animated series that's currently doing Great Guns, that would have been a fucking
it's
great
a missed
move.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh, what, X-Men?
Yeah.
What, the new 97?
X-Men 97,
yeah.
Because people would just be, oh, yeah, it's on
Netflix.
I
honestly don't think they expected that to be as big as it is.
There are a couple of opportunities they are hitting. So, for example, Titan have got the new Chitwe Gatwa on the cover of the Doctor Who Free Comic Book Day. Now, that's great timing because Doctor Who's about to come on television again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, fine. I can see that one. Yeah. The
what have we got this year? What have we got this year, Tony? Have you got the...
I picked out some favourites.
Don't go for
all
50.
Read them all out. So you've got Flash. So big shout for Madcape, who I think, as we speak, I think Jordan Thomas is on there. 10th anniversary panel at C2E2.
Oh, fantastic.
Awesome. Jordan. So, yeah, so big shout out to Madcape, who have become a recent favourite of ours, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe four or five of their books we've been recommending. They're doing Flash Gordon, and it looks, I haven't got it in front of me. Is that a Dan Panosian cover? If not, it's of similar sort of quality.
Oh, that's fantastic. If it is.
It looks really good. What the insides are like, I don't know, because I know previously a couple of comics companies have put out, like, for example, Buck Rogers reprints, stuff like that. I'm into that one. There's a Hellboy. I'll always try and get the Hellboy one. I'm a fan of Hellboy as a sort of story. I tend to buy it in trades these days. So there's a Hellboy flip book with Stranger Things. I don't know. Is Stranger Things still a thing?
Yeah, there's one more series left. So, there's people still talking about it.
It's not as big as it used to be, though.
We say that it's not as big as it used to be until the new series season comes out. And then that's all the internet talks about for 2 years.
Yeah, bear in mind, we spent
We're in the quiet moment of it at the moment.
Yeah.
We spent 20 minutes talking about baby rainbow reindeer a minute ago. So so Gannibal from Ablaze. Ablaze are putting out some really interesting adult manga. And I tried, funny enough, I saw a preview of Gannibal. It's Cannibal with a G, I think. I saw a preview of it earlier this week and I thought, fuck me, I need that. And I think that's pre-release, or at least coincides with the release of the first album, the first book of that one. That looks really good.
Okay.
As we talked about earlier, The Valiants, which is coming out from Alien Books,
yeah,
and which is the reinvigoration of the Valiant universe, finally, hopefully, touch wood, please, let
it
be
right.
Good. Yeah. Boom are doing The Worlds of James Tynion and the Fourth, which
that
is interesting.
Okay. That one caught me. I've just got a list up.
So is that like kind of like snatches of stuff?
I guess, because he's got this, has his Substack changed to, is it Tiny Onion or something like that? This is this new art collective thing.
Yeah, because a lot of his stuff has that sort of subtitle.
Yeah, so I think that must have something to do with that. Johnny Quest is coming out of Dynamite. Now, that's interesting because we're going to be talking about a different Hanna-Barbera IP later. Johnny Quest being another Alex Toth-related Hanna-Barbera cartoon product that also was produced by Kamiko in the 80s and bringing that back. So I'm guessing that's in line with, are they doing Birdman? Are they doing Herculoids? Are they doing all that? I don't know. That's all coming out of Dynamite. So that seems like an intentional thing to do.
They're
not just randomly chosen a reprint of something. Yeah. I think that's so. Ultimate Spider-Man 1 is the one of the other Marvel ones.
That's a fucking good one to lead off with.
Yeah. Yeah, I
That's a
think
really good
so.
run.
I've got issue. I think next issue would pick up next week. And I think that's it from me. Yeah. Blood of the X-Men, Bloodhunt X-Men 1 as well is the other Marvel. Oh, the other one I meant to mention is a Mad Comics.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that's a good thing to
Ah,
get
right.
Mad Comics. I think
Yeah.
they're still producing them, although I think they believe them to be reprints. But, get someone hooked on Mad Magazine. I
Yeah.
mean, that's all right.
That's great.
There's
Yeah.
also there is a few other sort of manga sort of influenced ones as well as all ages comics. Have you seen the Popeye one?
No.
I lie Popeye number one. It looks like it's definitely a manga version of Popeye.
That sounds
Okay.
great. I
Yeah.
can't think of a better character to be memorized
There's
than
like
Popeye, to be fair.
him, he's smashing his fist into the ground in front of him, and it's got that almost the characters look like they're from an anime. There's obviously a Conan. There's a bunch I see that have got like they call them sneak peeks. So I'm guessing it's part of an issue
Oh,
that's
part of
going
the
to be.
story, and maybe it's a
Yeah.
flip book. The Conan's the one that's got a Panosian cover, is that right? We were
Yeah.
talking about it on the Slack, weren't we? I think.
Yes. Yeah, I was holding that same complaint that you had, Vince, about the masthead
Yeah.
on that
Yeah. Oh,
Conan
yeah.
there.
Oh, the other one, Image Skybound are doing the Energon universe. So I
That's a
don't
good
know what that's
shout.
got in it.
Yeah. That's a
Yeah.
good shout.
Even if it's like little bits from all the issues, that's a good
Yeah.
primer to
Yeah.
people to pick the trades up, I
Bit of
guess.
Duke, bit of Transformers,
And
bit of
there's,
Void.
yeah.
I mean, obviously you've got the main ones, but it's certainly interesting when you see some other titles that you don't know about. They're obviously like indie-like titles, or just like there's one called Dying Inside, which we all are.
Constantly.
But it's quite a cool cover. It looks like an Image number one. That's from Vault Comics. A lot of these are all publishers who obviously, they can afford to do a free comic book day sort of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's sort of some strange. There's Romeo versus Juliet.
Right.
There's
Okay.
Ultra Duck, right, from Arcana Studio, and
Ultra Duck.
yeah, no, that's the thing is, there's these ones that will sort of Witches of Brooklyn. They're sort of smaller titles, and I always think on Free Comic Book Day, and maybe this is me just judging the general public. I really hope this isn't the case, that these interesting smaller titles that don't have the big banners, are the ones that are going to be left behind.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you'd have thought they'd take. Is
Do you
that, have you got
think?
any the X-Men left? Is that when he got Ultra Ducks? Oh, I had that in.
Yeah,
Just
he
written like, yeah.
I mean, there's Cursed Verse, which is by American Mythology, who we've talked about
Yeah,
previously.
yeah.
I hope that does well for them. A little company, obviously they're taking a chance on spending a few quid to
Yeah.
get their characters out there. I like that sort of thing. Kind
Yeah.
of fingers
If I was
crossed,
doing that,
yeah.
I'd just have like every comic bag would have a comic in it, and it's completely random. When you buy a sank, boom,
Yeah.
comic.
There's
Now,
different tiers, aren't there? There's different levels of books and stuff, the way they do it. So,
okay.
Okay.
Just
yeah.
and this is I've looked at this list on freecomicbookday.com. So if you want to check that out, this is obviously the official page for it. As it says on this page, a committee of comic shop retailers chose 48 titles to be available on Free Comic Book Day, 12 gold sponsor comics and 36 silver sponsor comics that give fans an opportunity to discover new titles and genres. So they have a committee of comic book retailers. Who knows what that means? It's like the Oscars, isn't it? If you're part of the Oscars,
Yeah.
maybe, it's very that to me is quite interesting, isn't it? Like, I mean, I guess it's something like this has to be curated, doesn't it? It's sort of.
You got to laugh at DC. They haven't even sorted their cover out yet.
No, I know, but that's sometimes that's a standard. Sometimes you get
Yeah,
that when on the actual day it comes out
that's
online.
true. Come on, man.
Now,
I
obviously,
see Snoopy in there. Nice to see Snoopy's in there.
yeah,
Yeah, that's
and
good.
like Asterix and all of this stuff's good. I like that there's a smattering of some classics in there because even though probably some people just dismiss them, they're still popular now and they're still popular with kids.
And they're doing a Gatchaman. Mad Cave are doing a Gatchaman special as well,
Oh,
which is
nice. I'll be interested to
that's
see when that comes back.
keeps keeps popping up for me. Battle of the Planets and stuff things recently. It was talked about on the Slack the other day, which I think is, I guess, is coming from this series, that Image.
Must be.
Scientific
Must be.
Ninja Teen Gatchaman. I mean, that's a great title.
And there's also a
That's
One Piece Free Comic Book Day,
fucking massive.
which I reckon
Yeah.
is going to be one of the ones that goes the
Yeah.
quickest.
It's going to fly, isn't it?
you know, and that's, I mean, if you just think about it, that's huge. That's, of course, you've got to put that on the part of the list, haven't you? You've got to have it. Now, obviously, this is the ones that a lot of comic book stores are ordering in, or, you know, figuring out. And I hope if there's any comic retailers sort of listening, we hope your free comic book day goes amazing and, like, people go in and actually buy stuff as well as the free comics. Hopefully it's one of those you go in, pick up a couple of free comics, and then browse for a good hour or so. That's what I'd do anyway.
Well, ideally.
Yeah. But what about the sort of independent thing? Have you ever sort of seen or heard of some things that creators have done, small publishers have done, to jump on board this? Because obviously this is a diamond thing, diamond retailing thing. And of course, we're not all in diamond, are we? So what does the smaller guy do to
make use of the footfall. Every comic shop shouldn't just be doing this. They should be making use of the footfall to do other things. Now, I know we had a chat with Forbidden Planet Glasgow. They've got a big sale on, stuff like that on the day, haven't they? They've got like a bit of an event going on. Big shout out to Pete Watson. Go say hello to him. The Gosh Comics have got a signing going on. Matt from Zine Freak up in Lancaster, pop in and see him because he's actually doing his own. Isn't he got zines that's made himself?
Yeah, that's amazing. Great to hear that's doing well as well.
Good to see that. It's everywhere at the moment, it's great to see. It's got to be treated as a celebration, I think. You got to think this is a celebration of comics. It's not just about free things. We should be having like a drawing club or, you know, whatever you can do, you know, have something like that. What's the one in the cinema? I mean, they should be having like a little mini Subiro film festival if you can wangle it or something like that.
I had an idea this week, actually, with us and the creators on the Slack and maybe listeners. As an ACP, we put together like a digital drive full of free comics and we pimp it out on our socials. And then anyone can download it and then they can have like issue ones or whatever one people give it away.
Yeah.
And then you set a timer on it for like during this date, you can download it. And after that, it's.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. There's so many comics that we have on our drives, and we're never going to reprint them, are we? Let's face it.
Yeah,
so we'll just stick them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll put that up in the Slack and see if we can get some people to do that for free comic book day.
I think it's like you say, to get some sort of initiative to make it more of a event. I mean, it's probably a lot of hard work for these stores to do anyway. So ask them to do more. It makes me think about how, I don't know, all of our listeners are obviously grown-ups, and a lot of the comic readers that complain about everything are certainly grown-ups. We're all adults complaining about a lot of stuff. But I sometimes look at how like the sort of kids comic book industry is sort of going and the way they do things. And certainly the way they, like the Phoenix moves into like, then becomes collections and now they're fucking selling gangbusters. Do you know what I mean? Like Jamie Smart is a superstar of like the children's publishing world now, like rightfully so. But when he's at events, it's, you know, there's a talk, there's a little setup, there's workshops, there's all these kind of things. So if the shop can obviously, you know, get a couple of sort of creators in to do these sort of things.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Because looking at that list, there's an awful, and fair play to it, there's an awful lot of that list, most of it, is younger audiences.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You scroll down, there's not too many ones I can see here.
That's what you want a gun for, surely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I will say this, I haven't paid attention to a free comic book day list in a long time. You know, because it became just sort of like, I heard so many stories of people just picking up issues. Or I keep seeing them in charity shops for like £3. I'm like, this is taking
I do feel for collectors, being like a sort of OCD collector, is a lot of them are intrinsic part of runs and stuff that you should be getting.
You want to get.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. But there must be another way of them doing it. I'm sure there is. But
I think these comics are the perfect opportunity. Like we've said on the show before, that remember when comics were a medium that you'd read it, roll it up, put it in your back pocket, you know,
definitely disposable.
The disposable
ones.
Medium. These are tailor made.
Should be that.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all nice to have a limited edition one with a nice cover, but it's like, no, let's make them.
Yeah, Arcade did that. They did a little hardback one, didn't they? The thing is, it's like I think Simon says here. I'm just reading through some of the Slack comments. 99% people of them are already in the know. That's the thing about a comic shop event, sadly. How many people at it,
but
don't
is
have
that...
a clue. You've got to get in the local papers and shit like that.
Yeah, totally. Certainly, I think if you're getting into comics, within a couple of years, you'll be aware of Free Comic Book Day, because it is, it has become
one of the things.
Just one of the things, isn't it? It's the only. It's just going every year.
Yeah.
Do you remember this story from years ago with Free Comic Book Day when that young lad or girl, whatever, burnt a copy of Spider-Man?
Oh yeah.
And his fucking everyone was going fucking nuts over it.
There'll be the usual bullshit, you know. I mean, yeah. I remember the kickoff because Page 45 charged. Do you remember there was a bit of a mini kickoff around that? Because they said, I'm being charged for it. You're going to have to pay me for it as well. You know, and you're kind of, I'm not sure that's in the spirit of it, but you know, I get where you're coming from.
The free bit there.
Yeah.
Do you,
and you get the people who go in and pick every. I remember being in the comic shop in St. Albans once, and a dude came in and he said, I had a brilliant day yesterday, a Free Comic Book Day. I got 70 comics. And we're like, what? They're right. Fucking for people to have not.
They're not
just
for you.
Yeah.
I think it's
get these people just take the piss.
Yeah.
They're in all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I hope this year is a massive success. I hope, certainly we want to know from all of you creators or shops.
Yeah, love to see
if there's anything that you've done or if you have an experience this year, because I think this is something that in all our years of doing this show, we haven't really talked about this.
No.
We've never really focused on it. And we're not going to spend the entire show talking about this, but...
I'd love to hear some retailers, how they get on the day.
Exactly. Yeah, because obviously there's going to be good story. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's always going to be stories around this, isn't there?
Always. It's the internet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But never mind. Let's step away from the marketing bit and let's talk about the most important thing of any comic book show, any comic store, whatever, the comics themselves. What do you think the value is in those individual books on their own as a single day? You go in, you take whether it's for you or you take your kid, you pick up that issue, give it to them. And I don't mean monetary value here. Obviously, you guys know that. I'm not talking about, oh, is this worth? This could be worth something in a few years. Don't fucking think like that.
No.
But in terms of content, gotten better? Has it gotten worse over the years?
What do you mean? Personally, reputationally, in my own sort of mind, I kind of think that a lot of them haven't been very good.
Okay.
But there's been the odd one that has. I think there's to me, a lot of the companies sort of saw it as throwaway products, so it would be reprint and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind if it was reprint. If it's going to an audience that wouldn't be reading it, is that the primary thing? Having a reprint, I can't see an issue with it. Just put gold in there to try and get them in.
Yeah, I think good and bad. I think if you get into them, I know we had the Hernandez brothers put one out at one point, and there's always a Peanuts one and stuff like that. There is some good product in there. Even Marvel and DC have put some interesting stuff in them occasionally. But the Valiant one was always terrible.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember thinking this is just rubbish.
This is shit.
It's made on the thinnest paper you could possibly imagine. You know.
It's not an artisan product, though, is it?
No, but it's nice to be able to read it without ripping it.
There's got to be a certain point where it goes to the point where you're just like, oh, I've just got to tick a box. It's just got to put out any old shit on any old paper. But you're trying to sell your product in as much that this is worth getting. Comics are worth getting.
The Hilda one was good. I think I know I'm speaking as someone who was involved in it, but the Hilda one was really good.
That's great.
Yeah. And that to me is the ideal. Yeah. You know, you've got a good adventure story with Hilda in it that kids are going to love.
Yeah.
And then they'll go away and buy a book. Because this is a sales thing after all.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
To get people to buy the book, it's got to be good inside.
Yeah.
You know, it's that combo, isn't it?
Do you think it's a failing to make a Free Comic Book Day, if it's part of a longer line of stories, do you think it's a failing to make that very important to the books you're putting out that people have to pay for?
Not as important now as it used to be, because they do, a lot of them, as I understand it, do make it online. A lot of them do, as I understand it, make it into trades. But from a completist point of view, yes, it would bother me if I didn't have that issue.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be buying all the, what is it?
Because it feels like these are almost like short runs, aren't they? It can feel like that when you're in a store and they're just being snapped up.
You pick up some scalper on eBay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like five times the price.
Blood Hunt is allegedly the biggest, most number of issues for a crossover Marvel have ever done. Is that right? It's only
You have to
recently,
tell
isn't
me,
it?
man.
Yeah, it's like over 50 issues, 60 issues or
Oh,
something.
okay.
And if this is the only way to get it, then I'd be like,
Yeah, that's a
yeah.
bit.
Unless
That's a bit.
it's a reprint of issue one. But you know, you think, oh, if it's the only way to get it, then I feel a bit sorry for the guys
The
who've been in the
fuck.
trenches every Wednesday buying the X-Men for, like me, for 50 odd years.
So are these sort of things not worth? Well, I mean, obviously they are worth it because we're all collectors. But I mean this in a sort of. It feels like they work. This sort of thing works perfectly for those evergreen Sunday funny kind of books. Do you know what I mean? The Asterixes, like the Popeyes. You know, I just say just throw in a Garfield. Just all these fucking classics that you can think of, which are just sort of evergreen. You can pick it up, read it, put it down, whatever.
It
Do you
should be
think?
like a comic version of the Oh Hot Moon. It should be the comic version of the DC guide to its characters, but in a little comic to like the first one, like the Justice League. If you're going to put a comic out, you want to tag people in. They recognize the style of the comic from the cartoon. They like the characters. They'll then go and buy them, I think.
I think maybe if you're making it tie into anything, it would it work better to have it more like a treat it like a DVD extra. So you've got your main story, and then you've got an issue which is someone that was in the background of that story, and you can just focus on someone else's a,
Or the
you know.
X-Men versus the Avengers snowball fight, baseball game, softball game. Something like that's what I'd like to see. You know what I mean? It's like something that endears these new readers to these characters. And that's fucking great.
Get them involved. Speaking of characters, shall
Well,
we
before we do, one final thing.
Oh.
What is when Free Comic Book Day is over, is done, what is the value, again, once again, not monetarily, of these books that are out?
Often very little.
Is it pretty much, you
No,
know, we talk
nil.
about like on the shelf, the comics have like a few months or something like this. This is a case of these comics have a day. How
Yeah, I
long do
think.
they live after that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it depends on what it is. I know, for example, the Hilda ones, when Stuart was running True Believers, I think Nobrow sent him a load of free Comic Book Day comics. So he had them to hand out to kids at the convention and stuff.
See,
I think
I
that's
you know
okay.
I yeah I
Yeah, that's
like
fine.
that. And you know, if
Yeah.
it's just if you can still, you know, if you've got loads of these stock, I mean, I just think also of the comic book stores that don't get rid of all these comics, what value are these books to them afterwards? Are they just a free just a freebie you put in the bag when you went someone else?
Yeah.
Because
Maybe
otherwise
even leave them on the till and say, like, here's a free comic. Just to
So
shift them.
some of them do end up being flipped and be quite expensive on eBay, don't they? You know, for a sh normally for short amounts of time.
But obviously, any comic book retailers out there, let us know, obviously, what the day's like for you, what happens to your stock afterwards. You don't obviously have to, we won't name anyone or anything like that if you want to keep it quiet. But certainly, it's just interesting. I just think this is such a, it's a short attention span event, isn't it? If you think about it like that, it's such a one and done that happens every year. It's a unique thing that happens in comics that doesn't happen. I can't think of anything else much that does this apart from like free ice cream.
Can I give a shout out to Down the Tubes? If there's a comic shop locator on the Down the Tubes site, which is updated regularly. John updates it regularly. So John sent this lovely email about last week's episode, by the way. So go and have a look at that, or you can use comic shop locator in the US and elsewhere. And also a big shout out to Crunch Comics, who listened to our episode where we talked
Big
about picking
shout.
up your pull list.
Hello, Crunch Comics.
Yes, big shout out to them. They're doing great work. One thing I'm gonna throw the gauntlet down, as I'd like to do to the anyone
Slam
that
the gauntlet down.
slam it down. I would make the noise, but it'd probably scare my neighbours. I want to throw the gauntlet down to anyone listening to this show before Free Comic Book Day. We always like your input. We always like to know what you think of these events, what are these things that we're talking about. Keep the conversation going as always. Here's a little challenge for you. If you're planning to go into a comic book store for Free Comic Book Day, nice one. We love you. Keep supporting those independent stores. We want to see some evidence. We want to see what are the free comic books that you managed to get hold of, but what did you buy at the same time? I want to see it. We all love a comic book haul from a convention, don't we? We all love it. I love taking them, like when laying them all out specifically. Let's see some free comic book day hauls. What did you get? What was the free comic books? And what did you buy on that in the store that day?
Big weekend coming up because we've got Free Comic Book Day on the Saturday and Sunday is the Mart.
Comic Mart.
Yeah.
Yep.
That'd be pretty cool.
So, obviously, I mean, this point might be moot if you listen to us in a couple of weeks, but Free Comic Book Day is, of course, Tony, the date?
I don't know what's that Saturday, Vince. You fucker.
Saturday the 4th.
Oh, which will probably be, a lot of comic book stores will probably do something Star Wars themed as well.
Yeah, they try and, it does tie in quite a lot to Star Wars Day often every year, yeah.
We're doing a Star Wars themed draw off in the ACP Slack next month. May the 4th force be with you, because we can't, we're doing it all month.
I got caught by a Star Wars joke online, didn't I? A prank.
Yes.
That said Brie Larson was in the next series, and I went, well, lucky I don't watch anything anymore.
Yeah,
but it was a joke.
I've got a really good joke for you later, actually.
Oh, good.
Okay.
It's a real safe one as well.
Dad joke.
It's a proper dad joke, but I love
good.
It.
Good.
It's a rarity for this show.
true. But from Free Comic Book Day to some absolutely vintage characters who are getting a spotlight back on them. I want to say, I'm not going to say after a long time, because every so often, some of these old, I want to use the term golden age, but that's just a go-to. Do you know what I mean?
Vintage.
The vintage, that's brilliant. I like it, not just because my name's in it. Vintage comic book characters. Occasionally, they get a new coat of paint, sometimes a new publisher. They get the dust sort of blown off them. Ooh. And then we see some new comic series come out of these old characters. We've seen it a lot in the past, certainly with the pulp stuff. I think that the Shadow, shout out to Alan Henderson, he's always the Shadows. Ever since Shadow came back, when did Shadow sort of come back properly? Was it early 2000s?
There's some 80s and 90s Shadow.
Yeah.
If I don't say that, Alan will write to me.
Yeah.
Or shout down in front of me. But it's kind of been rebooted a lot, the Shadow. Yeah. There's some 70s stuff.
But that one feels like that's kind of always kind of been there. But some disappear for a long time and then come back. I mean, certainly we talked about Free Comic Book Day. Flash Gordon as himself. When was Tony? You'd know more than me.
I'm going to say like the 2010s at Dynamite, I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these characters like Flash Gordon, the Phantom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of the pulp. So
yeah.
And I think they're kind of revisited every so often, trying to reboot. Like we get like Doc Savage is another one, Tarzan is another one, John Carter is another one. We often see them rebooted, don't we? You know.
And this
came quite timely for us, didn't it? We got
this all sort of tied in. Right, things sort of came together because recently Mad Cave, to give them a shout out again, they've just put out a new Dick Tracy book.
Had a bit of heat, actually. I'm going to say,
For those who don't know, we've been Dick seeing Tracy, it a lot.
Yeah, how much do you know? But how do you guys know about Dick Tracy?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Pretty much know nothing about the character.
So, would you like a little potted history?
Go for it.
Yeah. Go for it.
Created by Chester Gould in 1931. First appeared in the Detroit Mirror as a strip. Gould would draw the strip for guess how many years? He started in 1931. Guess when he stopped?
I just looked at it. So, damn.
77. Fucking hell.
That's not
what
bad.
What a ledge. Yeah.
And various other people have dealt with it, including a favourite writer of mine, actually, in comics and in novels, Max Allen Collins. 1934 began on the radio. The Dell's Popular Comics, 1936, and he remained quite a lot with Dell, appeared in those comics quite a while. Some of them were the comic strips just put into the pages of a comic, which is quite common back then. The infamous Blackthorn put him out as a monthly series, and the mini True Hearts and Tommy Guns, and it was drawn by Carl Baker. I like Carl's work. 2018, we had Mike Allred and Rich Tomasso. And I think that was quite a good run. I remember reading that and thinking that's pretty cool. And then we've obviously got the Warren Beatty thing. Yeah. Now, you all know about the Warren Beatty thing, do you? So Warren Beatty made the movie, which I actually don't mind. I think when you talk about taking a comic strip and putting it into a movie, it's
the fucking cast they got in that film.
Mate, Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Got
Madonna, obviously him, Dustin Hoffman. There's a lot of names in it.
Yeah. But it's very like the comics. I think they do a good job on it. But the other thing with the Warren bit, you know what he does with it, don't you? Do you know, have you
Yeah.
heard this story? So in order to keep the IP, he makes a movie every so often. And you know that there's Zoom links. So he films a Zoom link, him talking as Dick
Dick
Tracy to
Tracy.
somebody else. And
Amazing.
that's made
Just to
as a
keep the
movie.
rights.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I
I
mean,
had a
his
calling Dick Tracy watch at one point when the movie
that
came
was
out.
his special ability, basically, like to have an Apple Watch, was it? Well, it wasn't even an Apple Watch. It was sort
It
of,
was like a phone.
it was like a
Yeah.
radio, yeah, like a mobile phone on his watch that people would say, Dick
Yeah.
Tracy, you
And
can.
obviously he's got the really iconic yellow
Yeah.
jacket
Yellow
and
jacket and
yellow
a hat.
hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
So
love the
we
look of him. I think he
it's
looks great.
just
And
amazing.
a great, I think there isn't, I think it was Mike talking about Mike Sudaka again. He was telling me there's a, there's talk that the Penguin was originally kind of nicked off Dick Tracy.
That makes
There's a
sense. I can see
character
that.
who's, there's a
Yeah.
character very like him. So he's got a brilliant rogues gallery as well when you
Oh,
look.
absolutely. Yeah. They've all got like just these really weird, iconic sort of faces. They basically looks like someone's made a human head out of
Hammerhead is basically,
plasticine, and then they've just pulled it in different directions. And then whatever direction you pull it, it's a new character for Dick
with
Tracy.
the age we're kind of living in, this kind of they've I'm not sure if you'd get away with some of that stuff now. Like somebody's kind of got a slight flat
Okay.
head calling him Hammerhead. I'm not saying for or against whatever. I'm just making an observation
Do you
there.
remember the Tefal adverts, which was the scientists who made Tefal things, and they had like massive foreheads? Do you remember
Yeah,
them? And
yeah.
you go, "All right, Tefal head," if someone had a haircut. Do
But
you remember?
we all read the comic, didn't we? The
Yes,
issue one, yeah.
yeah. Because it looked, it looks absolutely great. Mad Cave, as we said, have been absolutely smashing it. There's a
Alex Segura and Michael Merici, both good writers.
yeah,
Both writers I nearly always enjoy.
yeah. And
Yeah.
this is fascinating because it's a really I mean, for me, we're not. It's kind of I think people should check it out. It is a kind of recommendation in a kind of way
Yeah.
because I
Yeah, I'd
really.
recommend it. Yeah, I did.
I really
Yeah.
enjoyed it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
If you like that kind of period, but kind of like the 1950s gangsters
Yeah.
stuff, I feel like it feels very period, and
Yeah.
but it's got
Yeah.
that kind of edge to it with Dick
But if I'm
Tracy
right
and
in
the big
saying,
cat
Vince, I
cast.
think you're, I mean, you enjoyed it same as we did, but you found it. I used the phrase is what did I call it? Grindhouseization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, grindhoused is what you
Grindhoused.
yeah,
Yes, they've grindhoused an old idea, which they do in this one. I found personally successfully elsewhere in another one we're going to talk about not so much.
Okay.
I agree.
Is that how is that because I know you had an issue with some of the blood and gore in it, didn't you, V? Is that
Yeah,
right?
this is the thing is when you say stuff like this, it makes you sound like a prude.
No, but when
But
you're kind of in context to the source material,
yeah,
yeah, we should say art by Geraldo Borges and colors by Mark
great art, by the
Englert.
way.
Yeah,
Yeah,
good
I mean, there's a
stuff.
scene with a diner with like the couple of bad guys coming with toppy guns and just hose down
Yeah.
virtually everyone in there, and they've got cut to ribbons, which
Jim
is like
Campbell's the letterer on this, so we've got two of the creators of past guests.
nice.
So,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you wouldn't
um,
get that in the old strip, surely.
no. And this is the interesting thing to me about this, because obviously I knew a little bit of bit Dick Tracy, hadn't read it too much. I kind of want to go back and read a lot of the old stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I went
See what it's
back after
like.
we talked about it because I was on holiday at the time. I went back and read some of the comic strips.
Yeah, not
yeah. Tony's
Tony's
pulling
pulling a bit of a face there.
yeah. You've got to kind of be really in the groove for the old.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with them. It's just
No.
they've just very of
Yeah.
their time.
They are what they are. Okay.
Now it's interesting. They're very of their time, and this is almost very of its time. It's still a period setting. They haven't modernized it any kind of way. And it's a crime comic.
Yeah.
But it's a crime comic that it's got a nice rhythm to it. The dialogue's great. There are flashes of violence in this, which, I don't have a problem with violence in my comics, but maybe for this comic, I thought, really? Because
I know
there
what you're
is
saying. Yeah.
like people being gunned down, and there's blood everywhere. I kind of thought, as I was reading it, and when I came to the end, it's a strange feeling. Both thoroughly enjoying it, and then kind of thinking, "Who's this for? Is this for Dick Tracy
Yeah,
fans,
I
or
get you.
is this for
I
crime
mean,
comic
are there
fans?" Is
really
that?
that many Dick Tracy fans left?
Well, but
You
that's the
mean,
thing,
that's the
isn't
thing,
it?
isn't it?
So why?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. Why have you done it? What? Like events? Like
Exactly. Yeah.
why have you done
Yeah.
this then?
Yeah.
Who's this
How's it
guy for?
found its way at the doors of Mad Cave is what
But
I'm
the.
always interested in. Is it like Alex Segura and Michael Merici have gone, we're big
We're
fans
doing Dick
of.
Tracy. Also, like,
Yeah.
oh, we've got these fucking licenses. Dick Tracy wants that. You can have that. So, not really. So, it pays this much. Oh, fuck it. I'll do it then.
Yeah.
I
I mean,
mean, do that kind of.
it all falls into the, if it's well done, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But there's a
fine.
lot of fucking comics out there at the moment.
But we
Yeah.
say this thing, how many fans are there of Dick Tracy? You know, things like
There might be
that.
loads.
I understand that. And, like, you know, for instance, certainly people in the UK, we're not going to know him for sausage most of the time. We don't know who any
It's
of
all
these
the
characters
movie.
are.
You put them into
Yeah.
Google, the first five things are the movie.
Yeah. Now, the book, without spoiling anything, is interesting in the fact that we know Dick Tracy in the yellow jacket. Do you know what I mean? He's iconic. He looks great in
Looks
this.
great.
Looks
Looks brilliant.
great.
Yeah.
Acts like an absolute sort of hero. You know, just a good man in maybe a not so good world. That kind of thing. And the way they've written him is just spot on.
There's
It.
almost an origin story to it as well because he doesn't know Tess Trueheart either, does he? He
Yeah.
meets
No.
her in the
Yeah.
first
Yeah.
issue.
He
Yeah.
doesn't necessarily know who these characters are. But if it's not written for fans, there is a final panel that suggests that we should know who this character is.
I'm not sure who that is.
And I have no idea who that is. They look very sort of, they've got a look. They're iconic. But there's probably people that be going, oh,
Yeah.
guy, what are you talking about? This is this person. That's fair enough.
I
But
didn't know.
it's the comics equivalent of having Darkseid or
Yeah. I mean,
Doc Doom
e
in the
even
comic,
like,
isn't it?
even though we would think, you don't need to say that. The Marvel comics used to have, like, when a villain turned up, there would be a little splash that would pop up, you
Yeah.
know, oh, it's the mag, you know, it's the
So
horrific such and such.
what do you think, Magneto? And like, it'd be
Yeah.
there.
And the
So
last
you knew,
page of
oh,
this
okay.
comic is such, it's almost an iconic, you know, there's black, you know, someone stepping out of shadows into light. It's a really striking image. But because I don't know who this person is,
No.
it misses its punch. Do you know what I mean? I'm
Yeah,
like,
okay.
oh.
Because
Because
I
I
could only refer it back to the Madonna out of the film when she's like that, the shadowy figure. And I thought, is this this character? And then it's like, no, they come out of the shadow. It's like a one of the gangsters. I
Yeah.
wasn't sure if it was the Al Pacino character or not. I
Yeah.
really didn't
Yeah,
know.
that's what I wondered.
So it's that, are we supposed to know this? Are we being introduced to this? But if we're being introduced to this, why are you doing that kind of moment? It was interesting.
Also, I mean, if we spoke to some of our American listeners, there's some people who I know, I'm sure would know who it was. The it's America, it's an American thing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
way more than the UK thing.
Much
In the
more than
UK,
a
we
British
don't
thing,
really
yeah.
get it.
Yeah.
But
What would be
if
our
you were,
equivalent? Fucking Biggles or something. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
if you were given like
I
this
think Dan
character
Dare's
the
a good sort of counterpoint. Dan Dare's the counterpoint.
If he was given this character the reboot, how else could you do it apart from like this? I can't think of another way.
Because you warned me about the, because you said I liked it, but I did find this a bit weird about the bullets and gun smoke and stuff, and I went into it thinking, right, fucking hell, I know Vince loves a bit of horror, someone's going to have their head chopped off in this. And it, to me, because I've had that pre-warning, I almost didn't feel it hit me as badly. Preconceptions be something we're going to talk about later. Actually, I've got something to bring up then, but yeah,
But to not there's a massacre that happens. That's
Oh, massively.
Technicolor, a full page of a massacre.
They've Tarantino'd it in a way,
Oh yeah.
But the if we want to, I know you haven't read Space Ghost yet, have you,
No,
Vince?
no.
So
But there's plenty of other ones.
we got these in to look at the same week. So we got Dick Tracy, and we also got this new Space Ghost comic. We got sent to us by, thank you to David Pepozzi, who is the writer on it, and also unusually the writer on the Punisher series that we weren't that fond of. Big shout out to David. Thank you for sending it through.
Shout out Jason, but we're talking about Punisher.
Yeah, thanks. The Space Ghost, again, a slightly an older character, big history, not really a grindhouse character.
I know even less about Space Ghost than I do Dick Tracy, and I know fuck all about Dick Tracy.
Space Ghost, so created by Hanna-Barbera and designed by Alex Toth. So if you
Yeah.
hear a little bell ring, that's Johnny Cannon's head poking
Yeah.
up, looking when you hear Toth. His team sidekicks were Jan and Jason Blip the Monkey, who appear in this comic as well.
Yeah.
1960s cartoon. Probably better known by our listeners for these appearances on the Cartoon Network and Adult Swim.
That's the only reason I kind of know about the character, really. I've seen the design elsewhere, but I only really that TV show.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's had some comic stuff going on. It was in a couple of annuals over here. Space Ghost appeared. Future Quest for DC was a Doc Shayna. The Olivetti book came out from DC a few years ago, which is actually quite good.
Okay.
Doc Shayna for me, Doc Shayna, Steve Rude, that
Okay.
classic
The dude.
OG feeling,
I love Doc
retro
Shayna's
feeling,
art. Doc
mate, so
Shayna's
good.
fucking.
If you Google, just Google Doc Shayna Space Ghost, and that to me, that's how it feels. But this one, I don't want to say they go Dark Knight on it because I don't think it's that good. But
No.
they kind of have him as a shadowy figure. Tell me if you've heard this story point before. He's on full on the cover, so you know he's going to be. And then you have him as a shadowy figure that who then appears 2/3 of the way through the book and go, "Oh, look, it's Space Ghost.
So smash the
We knew
figure
it was
up.
him. He's the character on the title." And
Yeah.
also, and it didn't work for me at all. I think the execution of it wasn't as good as the Dick Tracy book, and that's purely the reason. I think
Yeah.
they've grim and gritted them both.
It's
You can
interesting
only
because
do
when
so
Dick
much grim and
Tracy's.
grit.
Yeah.
Go on.
Go on. No, you go on, Dan.
I say you can only do so much grim and gritty stuff with the Space Ghost because of the setting. I mean, if you're going to do 1950s gangsters with people getting shot up, that's
Yeah.
quite easy to
Yeah.
make adult. But how do you make fucking Space Ghost?
But to counterpoint it is Dick Tracy turns up in his comic. It's a full splash page, right? He turns up at a crime scene, so you see some cops sort of going like, "This is a mess," and he literally just says, "Some scene we've got here, boys, but I'll take it from here." And when he turns up, they don't need to say it, right? Because you've got a splash page of this absolutely badass dude walking in with the yellow trench coat and everything, and yet they still got someone going Dick Tracy logo,
Yeah.
which is the
Yeah.
logo. Do you
Yeah.
know what I mean? It's a fucking brilliant page,
You got
but
to lean into that
yeah
and he's
stuff,
turning
you know.
up and there's sunlight behind him. There's a
Yeah.
real, I can tell, it's almost like I can read what it was on the
But
script. You
even
know,
then
this is a almost like an angelic figure in some ways,
the
isn't it?
beat cops kind of talk shit about him, saying,
Yeah.
"Oh, was he fucking no?" And then in the next page, he's like, "Have you done X, Y, and Z? Have you
Yeah.
done this?
Yeah.
Have you looked at that?" And they're
Proper
like, "Oh,
detective work. Like old school detective work. Yeah. We should give a shout out to Jonathan Lau and Andrew Dalhouse, who do the art on Space Ghost, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part was fine.
The art was okay.
Yeah.
You know,
A few too many uses of silhouettes for me, but
it was
he's fine.
what's the fucking dude who used to hang about Ricky Gervais? Pilkington. What's his
Carl
name?
Pilkington.
Carl Pilkington once said, "We don't need any more singers. We've got enough singers." And I kind of feel that a bit about Space Ghost. We've got enough comics. We
Yeah,
don't really need this fucking
don't really need it.
slightly by the numbers version of a grim and gritty Space Ghost.
Because when I
I'm
was reading it, it's like the two
yeah.
kids and there's a fucking monkey, and it's like, oh, it's something important about the monkey. I was just like, well, I've got one of the things is nostalgia. I don't have anything invested in
No,
Space Ghost
no.
at
You
all. Like, there's no.
you got more ties to Dick Tracy than you do to Space
Yeah,
Ghost. Yeah. Yeah.
this is maybe hypocritical because like the Transformers series, I'm fucking loving that, and that's been dialed up with the violence and shit
Yeah, that's
going
true, actually.
sideways. Yeah.
Yeah, we are seeing a lot. We've got Thundercats at the moment, and we've got
Yeah.
all these books
Yeah.
coming out now that are very much into that. But
I'm not
they,
sure
like
if
you
it's.
say, they've got that violence in them as well,
Not sure
you
if I
know.
feel hypocritical for saying that Transformers book, I'm loving it. Is that just because I really loved Transformers when I was a kid? And I've got no frame of reference to Space
Yeah, but
Ghost.
there's been Transformer comics everywhere
Yeah.
since, you
True.
know,
Yeah.
and it's the quality to me. The quality of those
Yeah,
books.
the
And I
quality
think
of.
that's what tells. It's almost like we've got this sliding scale of Transformers, Dick Tracy, Thundercats, and then down here we've got Space Ghost, which is just, it's like yellow
I mean,
wallpaper. It's just,
without a
yeah.
doubt, these titles are certainly, I would say, it sounds harsh, but lost on a UK audience for the most part.
Yeah.
Because we have no, I mean, comics are usually a nostalgia medium. And when you're talking about things that are tying into old comics or
They
old
are, they
animated
can be.
shows, you're just doubling up the nostalgia. The reason we're reading these things, the reason you're reading a Transformers, a G.I. Joe, a Dick Tracy, whatever, is probably because you knew that character in some kind of way. So, and I think a very important thing to these books that people sort of like grumble about is when they read these new ones and it's the respect that's given to the character that is the main character.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not trying to change what it is. And you can tell new stories, you can highlight new angles, you can, you know, put different messages and stuff across, but the DNA of the character
Yeah,
has got to be strong in it.
gotta
I mean,
ring true, didn't
it
it?
felt like me, for me, the Dick Tracy book, I can get a sense of like who this guy is. Do you know what I
Yeah,
mean? And he's
I
the
really
he-
like, yeah.
Yeah,
I
he's
liked
the hero
him
of
in
that
that.
book. Yeah.
I liked Dick Tracy in that book. I got to know him.
Yeah.
Fuck knows who Space Ghost is.
No, it's a complete blank.
The thing is with Space Ghost is he should be nearer the Jetsons than he is to fucking Sin City. And we seem to be...
Yeah.
I mean, there's all these sort of like shadows of him fucking
punching
shit out of people in front of kids. And you're like, what is this? Who's this for? What kind of bollocks is this? I dare you, Vince, to go to page two, the contents page, and not get a fucking little eye flutter about how badly it's designed as well.
Yes.
That looks fucking awful.
One of the things with Space Ghost, when it's like the blurb for it was like, he's a space vigilante. And I was like, a space vigilante? How does that work? Like, you wouldn't call Conan like a medieval vigilante or something. There's no fucking laws. It's just,
I think there was
space.
I wonder whether that's them. Because
there's no laws. It's space. There's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, wasn't there, who was it put on the stack? Was it Johnny saying that he was originally designed as Batman in space? But that was when Batman was fucking Adam West.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
it's a strange character to do because, like,
it's not when he's the fucking equalizer in space.
Yeah, I really like the costume design. I think it's iconic. I really like it with the white and the black. It's great. But, like, how do you work that into a science fiction comic? It's kind of, if you go like hard sci-fi and then you've got this dude flying around in that fucking suit in space.
Steve Rudman, Nexus did it years ago. Nexus did it fucking 40 years ago. They want to do it that way. Make it weird, make it strange.
Yeah.
So you know, but nah.
Yeah.
Also, I think another sort of design thing, and you're absolutely right, my eye's twitching, Tony.
it's bad, isn't it? That grey background. Yeah.
But for these nostalgia sort of characters, one of the big things about them, they were great characters, but they're all about branding. Whether we like it or not, we were affected by their branding. The Dick Tracy word. The word, we know what that is. The Transformers logo, if Transformers was written in any other fucking type than what we know, we don't want it. And Space Ghost has a real, this is going to be a fun book kind of font to the to the title. If you don't get that inside, it's like,
it's
jarring.
The whole book's like that. I just kind of like,
it's like if you had like a, you know, if a band like Coldplay had a death metal logo that you couldn't fucking read properly.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It doesn't sort of make
I'm not going to be nice about it, but just because someone sent it in for free, I would be real about it. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah,
I just, it's nothing for me.
I think it's the content, isn't it? I mean, certainly.
Yeah. It's just,
I think, you can argue whether you think we're being horrible or not. Well, we've just given one book a lovely review and the other book that came out with almost exactly the same distro PR style. So we've got this sort of nostalgia book, two nostalgia books. They've both got multiple covers. They're both, you know, they're coming out at the same time. They're coming out in the middle of this sort of nostalgia boom. One's good, one's well written, and one's not good.
Yeah,
that's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Some of the variant covers look fucking lovely.
Yeah,
on both books, really great.
Really good.
Yeah,
it's just the nature.
Who are you going for
on
the Dick Tracy? You get one of the, you get choice on one of the covers. Who are you going for on that?
Oh, now
give me a sec to look this up.
These,
I really like the Brent Schoonover cover.
Which ones? Because I will say this, Mad Cave have fucking smashed it in terms of the covers that they've got.
Oh, yeah, they've got Dan Panosian, Franca Villa.
Every single cover is... there's not a duff one, is there? There's just not a duff
they're
one.
They're all good, I like Brent a lot. He's a nice guy.
Who's the main one? I can't see the signature on the main
Gerardo Borges, isn't it? It's the interior artist.
He looks a little sort of Robert De Niro-like in that sort of like...
Okay.
You know, he's got that sort of boxer's face on
right,
that, on
that's
that
what
one,
you want.
In the shadow.
He'd have made a great fucking movie.
For me, he looks like Christopher Reeve, but the Panosian one is fucking...
Panosian's good, yeah. Who's a better cover artist at the moment than Panosian?
It's almost like if you've got one of these sort of heritage characters and you want something really striking.
Yeah.
And he doesn't... What
the
I like
stuff,
about it,
everything, yeah.
Yeah, what I like about it, the focus is on the character. There's not lots
extraneous... Canary? Is that the, you'll have seen this one, but is it Canary, which is the prime reading book?
I've seen that, yeah.
Looks good.
I mean, I'd go for that one. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
That looks like he's like homaging a retro cover of something, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's really punchy, man. Yeah. Like, it's. Mm. The only thing is the one Pinocchio is that it looks like he's holding a Desert Eagle, which might be a bit anachronistic.
He's got it off fucking Snatch, hasn't he? That's where he's got that from. Vinnie Jones's gun on Snatch. That's his model there, am I? Vinnie Jones as Dick Tracy. That'd be a movie to see, wouldn't it?
Just cast it full of like London, like Danny Dyer is one of the.
Who's the villain? Mumbles, is that you? Nice brick top.
I'd have Chris Pratt as.
Chris Pratt and Dick Tracy. There you go. We don't need to say anymore. That's it. God, brilliant.
You made a wanker sign then.
I mean, I certainly think. I mean, I need to read Space Coast, which I'm going to do this very evening. But if you can. Obviously out there, give both of these books a read.
Yeah, give them a go.
See what you think about. If you have history with a character, then definitely give them a read. Even if you don't, it's an interesting experiment. But obviously I haven't read Space Ghost, but Dick Tracy did land. It's a tick box for me. There's just something tonally I'm thinking, but I'm gonna keep reading the series because it's the story's also.
Dick Tracy has been on my radar for a couple of months now. They've obviously rolled out a bit of PR there.
They have.
Quite well.
Yeah.
I'm really tempted to fire up the film.
Seen
the original comic.
Mad Cave and Dynamite are both go-tos for me. They always have been.
Yeah.
Especially Dynamite. I've been fucking reading pulp books of Dynamite since they've been about. Still am. Still buying them. Physical.
Yeah.
I would be interested in getting that Gatchaman book.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, look, that's another one. It's like Thundercats, isn't it? It's another one they're preying on us, aren't they? Playing on our brains.
And certainly our brains have gone in all kinds of directions this week. But it's always about comics.
Lots to talk about.
So it's a lovely thing. I always go to sleep in a good mood after talking about comics, which is always quite nice. And speaking of which, we hope you that's what we want in every story, isn't it, Tony?
That's what
this show's all about, happy endings.
I was trying to see if everyone made a comic about Steven Seagal, and I don't think they have.
Scared to, aren't they?
That's it, yeah, fair
play. Never live up to the fucking legend, will it?
Probably Steven Seagal or something like that, I don't know.
There is actually a comic writer called Stephen T. Seagal.
Yeah, they Seagal, yeah.
Yeah, Seagal, yeah. He did Stormwatch a lot in the
for
Wildstorm, if I remember correctly. Jesus Christ, where did that bit of information come from?
God, yeah, that's a deep pool.
Anyway, I'm just thinking back to all those piles of comics I used to have, like great days. And speaking of great days and great things that you need to check out, do we have anything to shout out?
I've got a few things. They're all like super promote myself. So I'm going to go.
No, that's fine. I mean, that's when we started this up, didn't we?
Hoa, you're a hoa.
Flesh and Ink is on Kickstarter.
Yes.
Hey.
Going back, it's got probably on the release. If you listen to this on the release day, we've got 4 days to go. So I genuinely think that you'll have fun with this. It's fucking mental. But me and Falpy reread it the other day and went, nah, this is all right. High praise from us. I enjoyed it. We had a real laugh writing it as well and creating it. Never Had Anything's back this week. I'll be talking to Falpy actually. So if you are at Heroes in just over a month in Charlotte in North Carolina, myself, Cliff, and a load of the EOC boys, including listener Tim Meekings, will be there along with Jason and Dap and Vince B. Vince Bond, the other Vince. We're going to be there, so come and say hello. And after that, in July, do not forget, date to be arranged, Qvention 2 is happening.
Oh, man. It's going to be
good. Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
So I'll be sticking a date out soon on the Slack. And depending on who wants to come, we might even rent a room somewhere in a pub. See how we get on. And then date for your diaries, last week of January next year is looking like episode 500. So which will be... a live pod and a lot of beer and probably a raffle or two and some cheap books and stuff like that. So
it's early day. I mean, we're playing stuff at the moment, but there's going to be comic chats, community talk. There's going to be charity type stuff, raffle. This going to be
I'm hoping a tombola basically. Stroke raffle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scenario. Strippers. It'll all be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Midgets, bearded ladies.
We've got to look at the...
Yeah,
and that's just the hosts.
There'll be a room where you can't see anything. You can only communicate via touch.
Yeah. Feel your way out.
That's every room in my house.
No, it's not a door handle.
Get a chance to milk a cow blindfolded.
Oh my god.
We'll have to practice going moo, Dan. I thought that was
Go on, practice now.
Well, which bit?
Ah, yeah. Dan did it.
He got to say it.
Oh,
right,
dear.
Come on.
Yeah, no, hey. Have you got any shout outs, Dan?
Yeah, oh god, yeah, I've got loads.
You almost went
first
past
off,
them.
Lawless 2024.
Lawless, yeah.
Double Tree by Hilton Hotel Bristol, 25th, 26th of May. You can listen to Sue Hadra last week when we talked about it.
Yeah, have a good laugh.
Tickets, etc., available. Go to lawlesscomiccon.co.uk. Go check that one out. Onto the Kickstarters. Got Steamroller What Man 1, an absurdly funny super adventure by Matthew Schofield. We've got more with Matthew coming up. We're going to get him on the show, have a talk about Steamroller Man. Looking forward to that. We've got Schism, a 100-page graphic novel by Mark Abnett.
The That's not out yet, though, is it? It's just you can landing page on that one.
That's right,
it?
Yeah. So you can do that thing where you can
sign up,
get
for it.
Notified when it launches. The Earth is Dying, Your World is a Lie, Payback's a Bitch. A superhero fights a bloody path to freedom in an apocalyptic Spanish winter. That is absolutely ace. So sign up to be notified when that releases. The Last Case of Devon and Taylor 1, a slasher stroke murder mystery. What happens when teen detectives grow up? Devon and Taylor enter adulthood and face their bloodiest, most personal case yet. That's got another month to go. Smasher is target. If you back that, you get a whole slew of comics, including some of mine, thrown in for free. And lastly, but not leastly, actually, I've got another one after this. Kill the Bride from TBH Comics.
Oh, yeah.
Love Lies and Lethal Intentions in the Galaxy's Most Unlikely Venue. That's nearly hit its target. That's going to be a good one. Expect action, carnage, and all the rest of it on that title. I've got a bit of artwork in that. We've got Kieran and Damien's work in there too. And lastly, but not leastly, my copy of Prawn the Jumbo Shrimp. Yeah. 60 seconds.
Oh, I got mine too.
Yeah, it's lovely stuff. That's really interesting, that Amazon print on demand.
Yeah, it's come out all right, actually.
Yeah, mine's come out all right by Matt Straw. If you go to Amazon, just search Prawn the Jumbo Shrimp, you've got a Prime account, you can order the book and you get it there like in a day or two.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Great service.
Nice.
And that's it.
Shout out as well to Aaron Rackley.
Oh, well done, dude. Yeah, I sent him a little message saying,
yeah,
well done.
For raising money and taking part in the London Marathon. That's nice.
Yeah, he did the whole thing, didn't he? Good
did
boy.
The whole thing, fucking spot on.
Yeah. Good lad.
So, yeah. Top boy.
Running is fucking boring.
Oh, man. I ran through a cloud this week, I tell you.
That's awesome.
Fucking lovely.
That's great,
it was.
Yeah.
Running through a cloud, imagine.
Almost like a kind of outworldly experience.
No, I wasn't dead or anything. I didn't see a light and run towards it.
Right,
I was up a mountain. I was up a mountain.
Yeah. Wow. Good job you didn't. It wasn't foggy. You didn't fucking
fall
off.
Oh, I can't see anything.
Oh, isn't this beautiful? Anyway, this show is about comics. We've talked about plenty of comics already, but now we're going to recommend some comics to you lovely people. Tony, would you like to go first?
Okay, my first one is Complete Darkness, Issue 1. Words by... It's got sent in to us by the writer, Matt Adcock. Thank you, Matt, for sending it in. Art by Carl Brown. Design, Robin Fisher. This is an interesting one. I've got two things we're going to talk about in this. Related to the book, not necessarily what it says, but it's a black and white cover for this one. I sent you... It's on the group chat, is the links to it. The logo is done in that, it's kind of, I don't know why we're used to it now, but we kind of, it's that classic cyberpunk thing where including something in Japanese somehow makes it cyberpunk, doesn't it? I think because we're all living in a post-Blade Runner world, aren't we?
Yeah.
I actually went to the point of taking a picture of it, taking the letters out using my phone and running them through Google Translate, and it actually is Complete Darkness. That's what it says in
okay.
Japanese
oh.
down the side. That's kind of cool, isn't it? I think that's pretty
that
good.
Very cool.
Yeah. The black and white cover reminds me. I've sort of flip flopped on whether I like the black and white cover or not, and I think I kind of do. There's a classic sense to it. It's got. Do you remember 2008? Those hardback collections reprints, and they had a sort of black and white cover with the 2018 color at the top of it, and it had a sort of as a sort of design aesthetic. It kind of worked. And I think this does kind of work. The interiors are black and white again, so it's representational of what the interiors are like. The first couple of pages include some pull quotes, and the novel. So this is the first point I wanted to cover. This is a comic that is being made from a novel. So
What, from page to
the
page, or is it like a tie-in?
I haven't read the novel, so I don't know. But it's
Right,
complete
okay.
darknessnovel.com is the website. And he's taken it and he's making it into a comic. I have sort of slight issues with that because of the difference in mediums. And the descriptions you get in a novel need to translate into the flow of a comic. And I'll explain why. It opens on, it takes place in London, the sequel to The Greatest City on Earth. It's 22, the sequel to The Greatest City on Earth. It's 2242. So I think it's like in London elsewhere, if you see what I mean. And a cleric and his robot companion called Giz are examining a blood spray on a wall that's formed a face, the sort of shape of a face. Nice little concept. It's got that sort of classic, gothic horror thing going on in a sci-fi setting. I like that. But then the cleric, this character who we know is called the cleric, abruptly decides just to go home. Just, and I kind of think that's representational of perhaps what happens in the novel, where you would get more of a, I would like to think in a novel, you would get more of a description of this cleric character, who is clearly some kind of sort of Heinlein-esque combination of religion and police with the, or detective with this sort of floating robot companion. And it has him examining this, and then it just says he goes home. I'm like, oh. And I don't think the design or the layout or the workings of a novel translate immediately to a comic page. It has to be significantly reworked. The skills of writing a novel are very different to the skills of writing.
Yes.
Yeah, you're looking curious, Dan. Is that?
No, that's fair.
I mean, I certainly think like one topic we're going to discuss at some point in the future is like literary adaptions in comics. I think this is a good point to make, that if you're adapting from a book, you have to be very careful. You have to do it because it's a completely different medium. It is a completely different medium.
How you
It's
introduce
yeah.
characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had it before, and certainly we've talked about tie-ins and stuff, that the novel can be the core thing, but the comic is a tie-in to it, or maybe it's a spin-off. I know Barry Nugent with his Unseen Shadows. Remember, he did the novel
Yeah.
of that, and
Yeah. Yeah.
he did a load of comics that weren't an adaptation of that. They tied into the world of the novel,
It's like
so
when they say about, oh, I've got a screenplay, I'd like someone to transform into a comic. So, man, that's a massive undertaking.
yeah, it's
Same
not.
with a
It's
book into a comic, it's a massive undertaking.
yeah. You need the skills of a writer and an artist to do that. You don't just give it to an artist to do it. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how. To be fair, Matt did say, "Can I come on?" And I said, "Well, kind of. We got because we've got a pretty full dance card at the moment, and we things we're hoping to tell you about soon." So I said, "Oh, can't really at the moment, Matt, but I'm more than happy to have a look at it." And he seemed quite pleased about that. Yeah, so there's that. So I think that's something you have to apply yourself to. I think explanations and entrances and leaving and what you see on a wall and how the artist describes it. I write comics differently depending on who the artist is going to be as well. I think just to such a minute detail of that sometimes. And here's the other one, overhype. Now, I just want to. So one of the quotes for this is an adrenaline shot to the brain. So it opens with pull quotes before we get to the comic. Right? That's a fucking high bar. Expectation and preconceptions are massive in any kind of fantasy media, isn't it? Movies, you know, we hear this movie's going to be fucking amazing. The
100%
effects will
pure
blow,
adrenaline.
the acting will blow your mind. And you're like, oh, okay. It never
I
lives up to that.
always get that as well. Whenever I watch a movie trailer, some independent movie that is yet to come out yet, and it's got these fucking testimonials saying this is changing the face of cinema or whatever, and I'm like, you've got an early screener of this, so that's the only reason you're saying anything nice about it, because do you know what I mean?
You
It's
want
that
more
kind of
screeners?
it's faux testimonials. Do you know what I mean? It's
Yeah,
that sort of
yeah.
like okay.
It's
Because
so we got comics, sorry.
if you don't give them a nice testimonial, you won't get any more screeners.
Yeah. And it very much applies to comics at the moment, doesn't it? And then, so we got an adrenaline shot to the brain. And I'm like, oh, well, this is going to be amazing because the cover was quite good. And then you're about to witness something special. I'm like, I read 3,000 comics this year. This needs to be special. Do you know what I mean? And
This is what you tell ladies before they spend the night with you, AT.
yeah, and then you never see them again. But the because I'm the, I always go low expectations. This is going to be the worst night of your life.
Brace
so
yourself,
it's
you're about to see something special. No, no word of lie. That's
yeah,
that's
a grown
something
man crying.
that that's something I said on a date once, but only because I was about to eat an awful lot of ice cream.
Off her bottom.
True
Right.
story. Right.
So
it's a great story. Very wholesome, Vince.
Yes.
That's me.
So we've got the cleric has decided to go home. The exact, and then it just says the exact same moment across town, something more epic was happening. And then we seem to get two or three pages of cityscapes. And it takes you a while to realize that you're following a car through a cityscape. So like a book, you need to set the stage. In a comic more so. You need to have place and people.
Yeah.
You need to put them on the board, don't you? You need to know where you are and what's happening. And then we shift to a technician in a NASA style control room. So they have activity in the solar system and you get what's called a starlight bounce. And it seems to be they're able to watch a battle from hundreds of years BC. But then you realize that somebody involved in the battle is watching the control room. And I'm thinking this has gone all. I don't. This has gone all over the place. I don't know what's happening here.
What? Yeah, this is a bit of whiplash, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. So we're used to first issue setups. This is kind of. It's left me scratching my head.
Oh yeah,
the art doesn't really translate what the story is about, and the story doesn't really translate what I'm seeing on a page. It needed more. They need, and we're not massive fans of decompression here, aren't they? But are we? But it needs some decompression.
Yeah.
We need to, you know, you need that intro. You need the way into a story. And at the start of this sort of cleric looking at the blood splatter on a wall, I thought, well, that's a nice opening. How often do we see a crime scene as an opening? We see it a lot, don't we? And they needed more around that, I think. And then you needed to concentrate on a character who's in the control room. Let's get to know him before he sees what's on the big screen almost. You know, I think a comic works differently than a novel. It different peaks and troughs. The other slight problem, I don't know if either of you have pulled it up to have a look at. Have you looked at it?
No.
It's on the Make-A-Wish Kid, I think, chat. Absolutely massive lettering.
Oh.
I don't know why that is. I don't know whether it's a smaller scale book. Is it like a paperback-sized novel-sized book? I'm not sure. But on if it was a normal size comic, the lettering would be much too big.
I'm just scanning through to try and find the.
I can see what you mean, Tony.
Yeah,
can you send me the link, T? V.
V, can you do it? Yeah.
So I can have a quick butchers.
So I think it needs a little bit. It is their first go at it, I guess. You know, we've got the next two issues through, which to be fair, I haven't read. So as an opener, it didn't grab me. I kind of feel you're about to say something, D.
Oh no, sorry, I have read this. Yes, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apologies, yeah. Another one.
So I don't know. It's just it's a nice idea. It contains loads of great ideas. This sort of future people looking back at a war BC and then the war communicating through this screen to say we're coming for you now. I think it's a great idea.
Oh, that's a great
I just think it needs a bit of a rework. If I was honest,
might come with maturity as a creator as you do more and more of it. You sort of okay, like I'm sure all of us we've made missteps in the past.
Oh, massive!
You look back and think, oh, well, that wasn't great. But if you're a small press creator, you kind of just keep working, keep pushing.
Yeah, I like that. I like that sort of combination of law enforcement and clergyman. I kind of like. I don't know why.
That's it's interesting.
Something about that. And you get it in. I'm going to say you get it in sort of Warhammer-y type things, don't you?
Yeah.
I kind of like that sort of
it's
thing.
Sort of, you're kind of like ordained by a higher power, but we see you're working on the path of the people and authority.
It's been a religious week this week.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's my first one. So, good bits, good bad bits, as usual, win the world, but there you go.
All right.
Who's next?
Nice. Dan, what have you got?
I mentioned the Kirkman collection on Comic House. I've read through the Super Patriot one, which is four issues of
Global
that's
Comics.
A fun read. Yeah, sorry, Global Comics. Super Patriot, America's figure, something. That was quite fun. Yeah, nice and fun. Like, quite an easy Kirkman. I kept on expecting, right, when's the really bad shit going to happen? And it never really kind of happens. It's quite general. But a book I recommended a number of episodes ago. They released issue two from it from AWA. This little black book. Do you remember
Oh
me talking about this one?
yeah.
This guy finds his dad, who I presume dead, was a bit shifty. And when they've moved into his house, after thinking he's dead, he's left a little black book of all these kind of numbers that were
Oh
obviously there
yeah.
must be hitmen and cleaners and stuff. And I thought, right, where's this story going to go? And in that comic, his wife gets into an accident where she's had a drink, I think it is, and they kill some innocent person. So she cries, rings up bawling, saying, oh, look, I've done this. So he's instantly like, right, I'll get the book out. And they clean the crime scene up like it never happened. And I thought, right, they're going to play this out in some kind of drama way where this guy's got this book and how's the family deal with the fact that they've had to, this old woman's died and they've kind of written off the murder. But the second issue, I'm going to go to spoiler territory, so bear that in mind now. The company that the dad used to work for kind of clocked that their money's been used for this cleanup. And then they kind of kill a few people and they work their way back to the son, take the son out. They're about to kill him. And then the dad turns up and shoots the people trying to kill him. And I was just like, you had a really interesting premise in that first issue. And you've kind of just kind of brought it to somewhere which is like, well, you got an ex-hitman with his estranged son. I was like, oh man, like there's only so much you can do with this. Maybe it's me short-sightedness. But you know, when you kind of like reading the story and you think, right, I can kind of work out where this would, if I was telling this story, I'd know where I'd go with it. And in this one, I was like, why have you done that? I was expecting more of a kind of a mature sort of dramatization take on the power and responsibility of being able to have people knocked off and
Yeah.
crimes cleaned up and you've had someone killed and covered up. What's the impact on you? But they've kind of gone for another way. So, but I'd recommend the first issue. Maybe check out the second one on Global Comics and then see what you think. It's I'm sticking around and
Interesting.
carry on reading it. But
Well, that's gonna be interesting because yeah, be interesting how the first one got you, second one you wavered a bit. See what happens on the
yeah, and
third,
see what's happening
whether
with
it
the
pulls
third.
it back around. Which stories can do? I mean,
Yeah.
certainly we've all, I think, read something, and then it's like it goes off the boil and then hits you once again.
Yeah. You're like, okay. Now, I mean, the writer must have had a strong concept where this is going to go. So I'm happy to see where that ride takes us.
It being
Nice.
conspiratorial with this to me, is why the direct market doesn't work anymore. Because you'd have bought that one, you'd have already been in the bag for pre-ordering three more.
Yeah.
They'd have arrived in the shop and you'd fight duty bound to buy them, even though
Yeah.
you weren't enjoying them.
You're
You
like,
know, it's like,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. But I guess you will on this one, I would have probably like taken it off the shelf, given it a buy it, and then thought, ah, yeah, it's not too bad. Try the second one. Yeah, I might have put it on a pull list, and you're like, oh, fuck, it had
If
been
they
done
make it on
up.
a shelf, they don't always do they, I suppose.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's for the
Yeah.
benefit of saying like the app is. You can kind of
There you go. Look, they
test
pay
stuff
us
out.
twice this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we are earning that money.
And I'd like to point out, at 6 o'clock, I couldn't get into my app because I've just come back from Spain. And now it's already fixed.
You're on it.
Nice.
Good lads.
Okay, my recommendation this week. I just gotta ask you some questions, gents.
Oh, okay.
Sure, yeah.
Do you like action comics? You
Yes.
know, like with like some nice gunfire,
Love it.
violence,
Oh, no, here we go.
commandos,
Yeah. I like going
match
commando. Love it.
macho
Love
language,
it. Yeah.
maybe some
Yeah.
mutants, maybe a
Yeah.
cons maybe a, like conspiracy, maybe betrayal.
Yeah.
You know, like super weapons. Wow.
Sexy ladies.
I read that as well, Tony.
Oh,
That
good.
as
Okay.
well.
I'm in.
Well, this book might be for you. Okay? In war, there are rules. But the forest has none. Abandoned by his country, betrayed by those he once called family, and hunted by those who want nothing more than to keep him as a trophy, Pooh is on a mission, and no amount of
I thought you were
honey.
going to say Fury.
No, no amount of
Yeah.
honey will sate his thirst. He wants revenge. This is issue one of Pooh versus Bambi.
How did we not talk about this during the nostalgia thing we've just spoken about? You surprised me when you told me you like this. Because you messaged saying, surprisingly, I like this. Because normally you're quite down on that.
I'm if really.
If it's in a movie,
down.
You're quite down.
Do you feel, whenever it's really, like that Winnie the Pooh stuff coming out, as like, oh, okay.
And I'm normally like, I stay very far away from any of this kind of stuff.
In the movies.
In the movies, just yeah. And a lot of the time, you know, sometimes like a lot of times in comics, it's parody, isn't it? Which how can it not be? This one caught my eye because the cover's just really good. I got this on Comixology at the weekend. It's 255. So, but because of the nature of it, I took a punt. I thought, right, okay, how? And it was almost like sadistic, kind of like, I'm going to buy this now. How are you going to offend my eyes and my sensibilities? And how much am I going to hate you? That's a weird way to buy a comic to read, but that's what I thought going into it. I read this and I really, really fucking enjoyed it. The first thing I got to say, like, story by, it's a group of people who did the story. The story is Joe Brusher, Dave Franchini, David Wall, and Noah Mitchell. The writer is Noah Mitchell. Artwork is Jordi Tarragona. Colours, Juan Manuel Rodriguez. Letters, Taylor Esposito. Editor was David Wall. Production and design, Christopher Coate.
Okay. Who put this out? Sorry, mate, I missed that.
This is Xenoscope.
Oh, fucking hell. Okay. It's been a while since we had...
I did not know that this was Xenoscope because their logo's so small in the top left. It's only recently I found out that.
Do you know what? They have some good eyes. Sheldon Goh, who works for Xenoscope, is cracking fucking eyes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
And this book is... I tell you what, the art is so fucking consistent. Tarragona is a fucking brilliant. It's got a couple of variants. Obviously, they sell these sort of things on variants, and they sell them on the sort of shock value of what it is, isn't it? But what you have here, it is almost a mashup of like G.I. Joe slashed with 80s Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, macho commando movies with... Just there's sort of ties into anthropomorphic sort of figures because Winnie the Pooh and the rest of his squad are like proper fucking commandos. They're absolutely built. They just happen to be one of them just happens to be a big golden bear. And Tigger's there. They don't really name them, but you kind of already know who they are. Like Tigger's this fucking massive tiger man that's part of the team. And there's a wonderful sort of squad shot that they're just actually taking on these sort of bad guys and taking on this compound. They're like the team from Predator. That's what they are. I think that's how they've written this as well. Arnie's squad in Predator are these characters. And Bambi's part of them. but he's got like full-on antlers. And it's like when they blow up on this compound, there's a huge explosion, and then you see the big reveal of the characters, and then it just closes up on Winnie the Pooh's face, and he's just like, "Let's go get us some honey." And you just know, like, as soon as I saw that, I thought, "Oh fuck me, I'm going to really enjoy this." And from then on, it's like, it's the art's so good. There's action everywhere. I mean, it is not safe for work. Like people get their fucking eyes ripped out, like, and just shot. And it's full color. There's even the classic Dylan, you son of a bitch, you know, that they totally do
the
that scene
kind of thing.
They do the
Brilliant.
Hand clap between Bambi and Pooh. I just can't believe I get to say this. And then it gets to a certain point when they get into this compound and something happens. This sounds crazy that I'm going to say this. I don't want to spoil it because certainly the story surprised me. It took a turn. I was like, I didn't expect that to happen. What's going to happen? Why? What's happening to these characters? And then you get a flash forward of one of them is a man on the run. He's now sort of overweight. Well, he looks overweight. He's still a tank. And he's just sleeping rough in the wilderness. There's almost a little bit of Rambo to it as well. It's almost like they've taken all of those wonderful 80s sort of influences and just sprinkled them into a Winnie the Pooh and Bambi comic. It makes no fucking sense why I enjoyed this. None of it makes any fucking sense. I shouldn't be saying to you two and to the listeners And to the listeners, read this. I'm going to. There's only three issues, and I'm going to buy every single one of them. If
it sounds fun,
good,
man.
If
it sounds
it's
fun.
As good as this first issue, because it happens, a team then like poo. It's the amount of times I'm saying poo in this episode. he's trying to stay away from everyone, and then all of a sudden he gets caught on the radar by someone, and then this special ops team turn up to take him down, or are they? And you get a reveal of Piglet, who isn't a pig, and is...
Oh.
What do you think she is, Tony? She's a sexy lady. She's a sexy lady.
Cool. Is he boner? Or is that a step too far?
No, I think it may be a step too far in this book. I think they're just going for the... Let's have some fucking... Christopher Robin, they call him his General Robin, was the person that ran the team. And it's just so good. It's just so good. I don't think I've ever really read a Zenoscope book, because most of the time I look at it and just think...
Grim fairy tales
or
something.
Yeah, I just think, I know what that is. But yeah, if you do see this on your shelves... or on your
pick it up, it's worth a laugh.
Just pick it up because it is worth a laugh, and surprisingly good. It takes itself seriously, which makes it funny, but not in a "I'm laughing at it." I'm with it.
Yeah, I'm with it. Yeah,
that's cool.
I think it's cool. So I recommend that Pooh versus Bambi, issue one from Zenoscope. 22 pages of content. That's what they've got written on the cover.
Why?
Well, I guess there's no filler in this.
Yeah,
there's absolutely no
filler. And the cover's
got
great,
five
actually.
Pages of variant cover prints.
Yeah, and adverts for other comics.
Yeah, so that's my one. Check it out. Tony, what's your last one?
Yeah, so my last one, very quick one. Big shout out for Clear Run 2 by our buddy and my collaborator Helena Edwardson. This is a story and art by Helena from the Art 92 Comics Collective, and it's basically the continuation of the story of Marty. Marty is the dog that Helena and Damien adopted. As you know, I'm massive into rescue dogs, and things, how he settles in, basically. It's just a lovely story about dogs and how they help people and how you help them, and this relationship that they build up. And, you know, there's a couple of pages are spent trying to get the dog down the stairs and what happens when they go for a walk. And as usual, Helena imbues Marty the dog with massive amounts of personality, as he does if you see him on any of their social media. Things to do with Marty, page one: getting him to sleep through the night, the stairs, exercising on a long lead, going running with him, lap dog and the sofa. And that kind of lays out what happens. And right in the back pages, you've got some pictures of Marty, and you've got adopting a rescue dog. Since Marty came into our lives, he's brought us as much joy and comfort through difficult times. And it's just, I think me and Matt Buncey was saying, I read this, I think there was something in my eye when I was reading it. Uh-huh. You know, it's like one of those sort of things. It is a lovely, lovely book. Get a copy. I think it's available now on the Art 92 website. I'm going to tell you, it's at Art 92, ArtNinetwo, Art 92 on Facebook and Instagram. And you can get yourself a copy. And they also do, I'll tell you what, Helena does dog portraits. Talk about pet portraits.
Oh, yeah.
So a funny thing for me to talk about. And we got one of Sharknado, and it is the bollocks. It's so good. Yeah, so get them done. You've got one, V, haven't you?
I've got three portraits, which proudly on my wall.
That's awesome.
So they're amazing. They're just absolutely phenomenal. Brilliant.
Yeah, so Clear Run 2, they didn't go with your title, Dan?
No, well, I think I was too late to it.
Clear 2 Run.
Clear 2
but,
Run.
Brilliant.
They did put Clear to Run 3. They should go for that one.
Yeah, I think you should do that. Yeah, that would be confusing. but yeah, good. There you go. That's my last one. There you go.
Nice. What a collection of comics we've talked about this week, from nostalgia to violence to thought-provoking to cyberpunk. Free and free comics.
Place, yeah.
So we hope you have enjoyed this week's episode. And of course, if you're going to your comic book store on Free Comic Book Day, pick out some free comics, let us know what you got and what you bought from the store, and tell them we sent you, because we also quite like comic book stores listening to this show or being aware of this show, and please let us know about your local comic book store and how good they are. If they're worth recommending. If they're rubbish, then no one wants them. But yeah, in all seriousness, we love comic book stores, and we hope Free Comic Book Day is going to be brilliant for everyone.
Yeah, hope it increases the trade, gets more people in comics.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Because we're going to be talking about comics every week, and we hope you've enjoyed this week's episode and all that we're going to be talking about either now or in the past or on future episodes. We've got some very exciting stuff.
Fucking crackers lined up, guys, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great, they all come through. We're going to be busy boys for a couple of months, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. It's lovely when the schedule's just absolutely locked down for a bit. It's just, Then you just got to think about, I need to research for this.
Got to get on the reading, the reading challenge.
No.
Left that late.
Yeah, the reading challenge. Yeah.
Coming up soon.
That's coming out up soon. That's going to be towards the end of May. But before that, there's an awful lot of other stuff to talk about. And if
got two bank holidays before then, potentially.
Well, in the UK, yeah. But but if there's anything else you want us to talk about, there's several different ways you can get in touch with us. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. On social media, on Instagram, we're at awesomecomicspod. Or if you're on X, we're at the Awesome Pod. Thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, leave a review, helps get the word out about the show and everything we talk about on a weekly basis. You can also leave comments and reviews on Spotify as well. So if you heard us there, please do so. That'd be lovely. And we know you're lovely. Yes, you. You listening right now, you're lovely. Tony's shaking it. He's nodding his head like vigorously. Vigorously.
That's not true.
Speaking of vigorously, some people may have listened to us vigorously on other networks such as Amazon, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
We're also on the Pod Network, Pod Hola Wayne, Acabus de Entrara on Mi Ojo.
I know exactly what it is. It is a Tony Esmond joke that has been said quite a few times over the lifespan of this show. So instead of spoiling it, go back. Go back to some of our old shows and see if you can figure that out.
I thought it was going to be, Tony, we've got a scatological situation.
Oh, dear. But enough of that shit.
Much love to Pat and Lisa. Weekend. Yeah.
But from that to us, and where can people find us online, etc. Tony?
NeverOnAnything.com.
Nice. Dan?
You can find me on X, fuck's sake.
Only fans at what?
Yeah, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
Nice. You can find me on social media at Jester Diablo. And of course, please follow the show, and because, like we say, we've got some exciting stuff coming up.
Drea DiMatteo, used to be in The Sopranos. She's on OnlyFans now, you know.
It's where the money is. Perhaps we should go.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have much more than a tenner, like at best.
Yeah, but if that's per month, Dan, if that's per month, we get 120 quid a year.
Fucking get on it.
Fucking large in it.
Actually, debase ourselves.
Absolutely, debase ourselves.
Stick things up my ass for 120 quid a year.
Anything.
Minus the bit that OnlyFans takes.
I've got this massive cactus. Fucking hell.
So he's essentially only getting 40 quid a year.
Well, it would be that, because OnlyFans take 15%, I think.
Plus, you're gonna have to pay for creams, etc. like that afterwards. Doctors, so you actually might be running a loss.
Yeah.
So I have to have one of those fucking things that you kneel on because you can't walk properly.
Dipping your ass into a bath like some Looney Tunes
ice
cartoon. There was smoke coming off it. It was steam.
Spent 200 quid on a bucket for ice this week.
He is putting
it's
everything
not a good
up
plan,
there.
Lads.
He is putting everything up there. Subscriptions start from
$4.99.
It's like an Aladdin's cave. Anyway,
the more you pay, the bigger the item is.
I mean, you're
so
dropped
500. You're like, oh, fuck.
Fucking, I'm going to put a Volkswagen Beetle up my
As long as its doors don't open, why it's. Anyway, right, okay.
Herbie talks to you.
Herbie didn't talk, though, did he?
Didn't he?
No.
How
you're
did
thinking,
he know what to
you're
do?
Thinking, you're thinking a Knight Rider.
Yeah, always get those two confused.
Yeah.
That would have been a cracking Herbie movie if David Hasselhoff was in it. Yeah. It's the evil version with the moustache.
Someone should That'd take the audio. Herbie. Someone should switch the audio because the Herbie tune's very different to the Knight Rider tune. Oh,
Lindsay Lohan, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went a bit weird.
Yeah.
There's a, I've got a fact about that film. Digital, whoever did the post-production, they went in and digitally reduced the size of Lindsay Lohan's boobs in that film because they were too big for a kids' films. That's a fact.
Really?
Wow.
And also a crime against humanity.
If only our lovely listeners could see how pleased Dan Butcher was with knowing that. Link's even smirking to himself.
He's got the uncut version.
It's full of useless shit in here.
Yeah. And every
He's
week.
Been whacking it to Herbie. Bananas.
Except for when that Lindsay Lohan comes on screen. It's, oh, get off. Don't
yeah.
Get off. Where's Herbie?
I like it when Herbie blinks his headlights. Yeah. And it looks like he's got eyes.
That's the only way you can find him when he's up Tony.
Banana and a tailpipe.
Not going to fall for a banana and a tailpipe.
Anyway,
now we're on to
anyway.
Go on,
we have to finish this show. Thank you for watching.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, how many times?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for listening, everyone. Wherever you are in the world, don't worry. We'll be Tony's going to be okay. He'll be
fine.
Okay.
He'll be fine.
And we hope you're doing well wherever you are in the world and reading comics that you love and keep making comics that you want people to read and check out. Enjoy Free Comic Book Day. And from everyone in the ACP HQ, which is Dan, Tony and myself, have a brilliant week. And what else should they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
That was nice. Tony's was short and sharper, but Dan's got a lovely lead in.
Yeah. It's a lovely tone.
Let's stay. Yeah.
Yeah, stay. Yeah. Stay. Like you're talking to it, like trying to train a dog.
Yeah.
Nice.
Been
in. Bye, like everyone. A teacher in Grange Hill.
Yeah.
What?
It overcomes a sausage.